ここは夜だぜ。自由の時間だ。
これは僕が吸血鬼に恋をするための物語だ。
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. We are going through the summer 2022 anime season, and it is going to be absolutely nuts. Are you ready, Chris?
Yo?
Yo? Oh, yeah, I didn't let you say you go. There's his way of saying, yes, I'm ready. I'm too excited. Summer is insane. I pretty much have done a live stream where I kind of just chill with everybody on twitch.tv/otakuspirited and kind of got an idea of what all is to come, filling out all the information that we usually use for the actual thing you're listening to right now. And there was just some stuff where I was speechless. Some of the stuff just really came out of nowhere. And that's usually what happens. I tell Chris all the time. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. The cool thing I love about setting up these previews is not just going, oh, here's this show. Art looks pretty good. It's going, holy crap, this person's working on this. Did you watch my live stream? I just finally published it yesterday because I realized it was all being blocked. They'll have muted parts, but it's there.
But I didn't get to watch any of them because of that. So
there was some stuff in there. I'm like, I just hope Chris doesn't see this because then it's going to ruin the like surprise for him. So you guys can at least get his live surprise whenever we run into some really cool stuff. But yeah, next season's insane. Like this is probably the most insane season coming up in a long time. And granted, we still have fall, which has Bleach and stuff in it. So. This is an absolutely insane year, and it's a good time to be an anime fan. Lots to cover. The scary thing, obviously, is not having enough time to really watch it all. But not just that you don't have time to watch it all, but you don't want to drop anything.
Yeah, and
that's kind of what we have a feeling with this season, but yeah. I think it's going to be more so next season.
I was getting ready to say the same thing. It's the more frustrating thing is not wanting to drop stuff and. And that's really what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks is just trying to keep up and I'm catching up on
2 weeks left.
I've been grinding hard trying to get all that stuff caught up and I still have like 4 or 5 shows that I'm still trying to squeeze in at some point. And that's why I haven't been able to do any live streams or anything like that.
Yeah, last week has been dry for Chris. Everybody's like, where's Chris at? Every time Chris is not... And that was the thing that I really came to realization is it might come to where maybe for a couple of weeks I might not be a live stream, which I don't really want to do. But I think the only way that I can actually keep up with what's to come and finish up what's to come is to kind of take a little bit of a step back or just don't have sleep, which a lot of people suggest. Just don't sleep. which doesn't really work for me because I have to get on camera. Nobody wants to see my bloodshot eyes from not sleeping, but it is what it is. But yeah, this season coming up is insane. It's like, obviously, the big thing with this season coming up with summer is it's returning shows. We have some really, really popular titles coming back. And one title that has been gone for 12 years, I think it is, the Devil's Part-Timer. It's been a long time. I think it was actually 14. I don't know.
Yeah, I almost want to go and watch that show again, but forget that. Nah, I can't even keep up with what I've got. Why dump another show in there?
I promised everybody 45. I was going to watch, so.
I counted 45. How many did you get?
I think it was like 45, yeah. But yeah, returning shows is like, I don't know, 10 like big titles. it's just crazy. But we're going to do that. We're going to go through everything. I've already made a video where I did like my top 10 most exciting, but this is where you get all the information. This is for the deep divers, the people that don't trust Andrew. They want to know what's coming out and what to expect and then decide from that point. So get your pen and paper ready. We're going to fill your watch list. That's what we do. That's pretty much our thing is filling people's watch list. So everybody is just miserable with too much stuff to watch. So if you guys are ready for that, then let's just jump right into it. We're going to start off with the new shows. All the shows that don't really have a prequel story to go with it. Then we're going to get into returning shows. Shows that have multiple seasons or are remakes or whatever. Then we'll get into some shorts. and then talk about maybe some ONAs and OVAs that are coming up. So we'll get the title, the Japanese, the English title that is pending, obviously. They can always change the Japanese title, the synopsis, give you an idea of who's actually working on it, and then possibly a little bit of insight into what we think about the trailer, or at least Chris mostly, because I've watched the trailers before, but yeah.
All I did was just made an outline. I didn't read any synopsises, and I didn't watch any videos.
Yeah, Chris was making an outline, and I'm like, wait, you made an outline too? He's like, yeah, I thought you used it. I'm like, no, I just noticed that it was there. So, oops. Poor Chris finally is wanting to help me out, and I don't even see it. It is what it is, but yeah, starting out with the first one, we have Call of the Night, or Yofukashi no Uta. This one is Racked by Insomnia and Wanderlust. Ko Yamori is driven onto the moonlit streets every night in an aimless search for something he can't seem to name. His nightly ritual is marked by purposeless introspection until he meets Nazuna, who might just be a vampire. Ko's new companion could offer him dark gifts and a vampire immortality, but there are conditions that must be met before Ko can sink his teeth into vampirism. And he'll have to discover just how far he's willing to go to satisfy desires before he can heed the call of the night. This one's being done by Leiden Films. Manga is the source. The dramas are comedy, psychological, slice of life, supernatural. Director is Tomoyuki Itamura, who did the Monogatari series, The Case Study of Vanitas, and the series composition by Michiko Yokote, who, of course, has done a ton of stuff. So, yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Vampire Garus?
Yeah, you could say Vampire Garus. I was saying Vampire Toga. She literally looks like Toga from My Hero Academia. But, yeah, it looks really good. I mean, this is the one that I think when we had the PV come out for, it was like instantaneously, holy crap, I love the style of this. It has a very, I don't know, a dark contrast saturated type look to it. It's got a very nightlight type of look to it for sure. I mean, obviously a lot of this is probably going to be based on night setting because vampires. I haven't actually seen this trailer yet, so this must be a new trailer. But it looks really good. Now, I didn't know about the synopsis and the idea behind it until, like, literally when I did that live stream, which did kind of change a little bit for me in perspective, because it's kind of shifting from, I don't know, I was thinking it'd be just him hanging out with vampires and maybe having a little bit of a, you know, will she bite him kind of thing, and I thought that she was kind of teasing him, but it does seem like it's going to go for more of an idea of, do you really want this kind of thing? Like, he wants this. It seems like he might want a change of his life, and she's offering him something, but wants him to make a proper decision on it, not just jump into it. Like, you're going to have to be, you know, satiate your desire for blood or whatever. And maybe he's not too willing to get into that aspect or not, but... And then having, like, I don't know, the key art... I knew about the main girl, like I said, Toga lookalike... And then they introduced a trailer with the blonde haired girl. And I was like, okay, so they're going to do like a trailer for each one of these girls. And then literally I see the key art and it has like, 10 girls in it. And I'm like, okay, how many vampires are going to be after this guy? And it's going to be like one of those things where she's going to be, no, don't bite him. He's mine kind of thing.
Probably.
That'd be a lot of fun. So
it looks good. I think it, the characters look fantastic. Like the concept. Yeah, definitely interesting show for sure.
Yeah, and a great director. I mean, we got the guy behind Monogatari series working on it, and The Case Study of Vanitas, which I absolutely adore. So, and like I said, a series composition writer that's been around for a long time that's done a lot of fantastic stuff. So, Michiko Yokote is one that we always bring up, and it's the one that is like, it's one of those sad things where nobody really talks about Michiko Yokote, and Yokote just works on just everything, like at least one or two shows a season, and they're just phenomenal. So good stuff there. Definitely looking forward to this one. It's definitely got a lot of hype for me. It's up there for one of my picks. So let's get into some cutesy stuff here. We have, when will Ayumu make his move? This is one we've been talking about for a while. I think this was something that was brought up, I think last year when we were talking about This particular creator, Soichiro Yamamoto, who of course is known for doing Teasing Master Takagi-san, and here this last season, or this current season, In the Heart of Konoichi Sabaki. This is a teasing girl, cutesy forehead girl type of mangaka, and it's definitely exciting to see that they've had, this is a third of their work that's going to get adapted, which is absolutely fantastic. So this one is Sore Dormo Ayumu wa Yose Te Kuru. This one, the story is a two-person shogi club. The senpai is obsessed with shogi and making her expressionless kohai confess. So I guess, like, it seems like it's going to be sort of Teasing Master Takagi-san, but more in this one girl that really wants to, like, poke at this guy that's emotionless, or at least expressionless, and then she gets flustered. So I think it's literally the like, whenever Takagi gets some sort of payback, like, you know, what she wants from Nishikata, that's this girl, because she actually gets flustered. But yeah, studio is Silverlink, source is a manga, the dramas are comedy, romance, slice of life. Director is Mirai Minato, who did Jahi-sama Will Not Be Defeated, Fate Collide Liner, Prisma, Ilya, and Masamune-kun's Revenge. The series composition by Hitomi Mueno, who of course is another one that I think is kind of should be more well known. They've done Snow White with Red Hair, Flying Witch, and A Boat Tone More. So yeah, definitely an excellent series composition writer, so, which you'll need for this really adorable show, of course.
And it doesn't need to be said that I'm absolutely super hyped for this. I love the forehead girls in general. They've always had some very adorable, just fun shows. So yeah, absolutely hyped for this.
Yeah, I was kind of joking when we first got the trailer for this one that it's literally going to be like Aharon-san will not is incomprehensible or indecipherable. Aharon-san, but with the, I don't know, the brother. The brother of Aharon. Because you do have, like, the mean-eyed looking male character that seems like he's got no real expression. And then you have, like, a more ganky Aharon that's after him. I don't know. She definitely looks really cute. I think she's probably going to be the thing that's going to sell this show. Obviously, I think a lot of her cuteness is going to come from the fact that she's going to want him to be, like, have some sort of expression, but he's not really expressionful. Doesn't have much expression. But, yeah, the only thing that I'm kind of hesitant is we've talked about before where a lot of this writer's side characters, at least with Takagi-san, aren't very interesting. They're a lot more interesting in Konoichi Sabaki, because that show is just full of a bunch of dorky girls, all with their own little quirks, where at least with Takagi-san, the side characters aren't that great. And this one looks like it's got a lot of emphasis on a lot of side characters. And I'm hoping that those characters will be a lot more well-written now, because this is, I mean, one of their later works, so they're getting a little better with the side characters. But we'll have to wait and see. One has a very unique hairstyle in that they have, like, two bangs that come down and attach to each other over the eye. I've never seen that before, and that's a new style. But this character designer, the mangaka is really good with character designs. I mean, Konoichi Sabaki has, like, what, 30 characters, and they all look so unique and just absolutely adorable. So, yeah, we'll see. And hopefully Konoichi Sabaki keeps going on, because they technically are seemingly finishing Takagi-san in full adaptation. So it does seem like they put a lot of care into this creator's work. So hopefully this other stuff gets full adaptations as well. We'll see. Yeah, when will Ayumu make his move? The only other thing is I don't like shogi, so hopefully it's not too deep in the shogi stuff. It doesn't seem like, based on the PV, they put all that much care. I think the shogi will just be a reason for them to be together. Just shogi. What is with shogi in Japan? They just love their shogi. Anyways. Moving on. This is probably the most depressing show that I've seen out of all the trailers. My Isekai Life. I gained a second character class and became the strongest sage in the world. Tensai Kinja no Isekai Life. Daini no Shokugyo wo ette Sekai Saikyo ni narimashita. It's a long title. Sano Yuji, a black company employee, is summoned to another world while finishing his work at home. His profession is the other world, a monster tamer. His profession in the other world, a monster tamer, is considered a job that makes it difficult to become an adventurer. However, thanks to some slimes he met, which reads several magic books, he gained magical powers and the second profession, Sage. Yuji acquired overwhelming power, but is he conscious of that strength? Blindly becoming unparalleled and strongest in the world. This will be done by Studio Reveroot. The source is a light novel. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy. The director is Keisuke Kojima. Of course, he's done assistant director work for Babylon. And the creator of this one is Shoto Shinko, who did The Strongest Sage with Eureka's Crest. So, this is supposedly having a 1-hour premiere, according to somebody in the chat when I was on Twitch. So, if it's wrong, then it's their fault. Never trust the chat. Yeah. This is probably easily the one PV that I just kind of went, okay. Well, there's a cute yeah. demon-looking girl. That's about it. And there's a Ranga wannabe. I don't know, I was joking this looks like, I don't know, a cross between that time I got reincarnated as a slime, God's Blessing one. I always forget the name of it every time we kind of think about it. By the God's Blessings or something like that.
The Grace of the Gods.
By the Grace of the Gods, yeah. It's like that slime and... Yeah, I guess you could throw in there The Strongest Sage with the Weakest Crest because literally it's the creator. But I don't know. I have zero expectations for this just because of the creator. This could be their second work. I don't know. I'm not sure if this is their second work. So they could be better at writing, but I get nothing out of this, unfortunately. It just looks like it's going to be a super powerful isekai. But we'll see. We'll watch every show. It could be fun. I think the only thing that's really kind of drawn me is, like I said, the cute demon girl, but also the slimes look kind of fun. So maybe the slimes will be more involved than the other one. So we'll see. But yeah, the Ranga wannabe. the Walmart Ranga.
Why Walmart?
That's how you say budget. Like, it's like the best value, whatever.
I'm hopeful for it. I don't have any high expectations of it in general. Mostly it seems,
I don't think Reveroot's a good studio either. That's the other problem. I mean, their PV looks great, but they like to make PVs look great with everything.
It seems generally interesting that they can take an interesting twist on it, mostly on the aspect of that the summons might be more connected to them than usual. So hopefully this will turn into something that could be well received for sure.
Yeah, they did slimes, 300 year slimes in Babylon. So I mean, they've with slimes, it definitely did some crazy stuff. Babylon was more, you know, kind of slow pace, not really high action type stuff. So we'll see. I have, like I said, zero expectations, so maybe it'll surprise me. But, yeah, that's my isekai life. Moving on, we have My Stepsister is My Ex-Girlfriend, or My Stepmom's Daughter is My Ex, as the other title was before they changed it, apparently. This one is Mamahaha no Surego ga Moto Kano Datte. Ah, high school. Is there any better place to start fresh after a horrible middle school relationship? Nope, not unless your ex ends up at the same school as you and is now your step-sibling. What was supposed to be a sanctuary of peace where I could avoid ever seeing her again has become a living nightmare. Everywhere I look, I see her in my house, in my school, in my class. There's no escape. She even claims that she's the older sibling, like hell she is. But I won't lose to her. After all, I'm the older brother in this new family situation. That's right. We're family now. We've kind of established that already. Mm-hmm. I guess by the title, I don't think it actually says it on here. No matter how much we may have thought we loved each other before, we saw one another's true colors and realized we weren't meant for each other. That's why even though we may keep up a buddy-buddy sibling act for the sake of our parents, things will never go back to how they used to be. Such an angsty teen synopsis. Who the hell wrote that? I don't know. The synopsis worries me for this show. Like, everything else is just great trash fire, but the synopsis makes me worry about it. Project number 9 is working on it. For some that can tell, it looks very Higahito. The one where I shaved and took in a high school runaway. Very much so that design. It's not the same character designer, but it definitely has that style to it, which is technically the same studio. So I think it's a cute style. So, source is a light novel. Genres are comedy, romance. Director is Shinsuke Yanagi, who did Angel 3P, Never Grow Online. Ryo's work is never done. So they're good with ecchi. Serious competition by Hitomi Ueno, which I mentioned earlier, Snow White with Red Hair, Flying Witch, and tons of others. So I don't know. I'm going into this expecting it to be a trash fire. I don't know if there's going to be anything more than that. I'll be curious just because the synopsis, like I said, really makes me very lukewarm on the concept just because of the whole sibling whininess of it. But we'll see. I think this is going to be... It obviously is going to play a lot off on the idea of them being siblings and trying to be happy, friendly, and everything like that, but then having probably relationships outside of that, but then realizing they like each other in the end. But we'll see. We'll see if it goes I don't know. That's one of those things. Like, I always troubling whenever you get into the concept of CisCon, BroCon stuff. It's like, well, they technically were in a relationship before, and now they're being forced to have to be siblings, so it's a little bit harder for me to think that that's like a no-go area. Like, it was a little easier with some other shows getting into allowing or accepting that they can have a CisCon BroCon relationship actually flourish in the end. I won't mention the name of that particular title. I'm sure most people know what I'm talking about. But this one's like a little bit different story. I mean, legally it kind of ruins things, but in the end it's not really the same thing.
In some cases, I kind of want this to just be a where they just constantly are blowing up on each other. I don't know what about this show makes me want to see them argue constantly. I mean, I know it will get
because
old
they're flustered,
very fast.
Angry face.
I mean, yeah, I know that it'll get old real quick, but there's something about it that just screams, I want to see them yelling and screaming at each other constantly.
Now, here's the thing that's going to be really one of those early part frustrations for me is it's going to be if how familiar they are with each other, because I guess depending how long they spent together in their relationship they had before, if it turns into one of those things where they are like flustered around each other when they're close, it wouldn't make any sense because they have obviously been in a relationship before. But at the same time, we don't really know how much of a relationship they had before. I mean, they could have just been hanging out in the library talking. But, like, if it's an actual lovey-dovey relationship where they were all over each other, that's the big question mark. I'll be curious also if there's any of the friends that they had before that knows they were in a relationship together and now they're siblings. But, yeah, it looks cute. We'll see. But, yeah, the synopsis does not... the synopsis ruins it for me. Like hell she is! Sounds like angsty teen. We'll see. My stepsister is my ex-girlfriend.
Did we get no PVs for the next one?
The heck? No, that's I was talking about that on the stream. I'm like, I don't think this is actually happening. Like, I think this is going to be delayed because we're 2 weeks out and we don't have a PV for this thing. That's not a good sign, honestly. Yeah, there's no PVs for this show. But that show is Isekai Mikyo de Harem wo. This one is Harem in a Labyrinth of Another World. I really hate how that freaking title structured. Struggling with life and society, high school student Michio Kaga wanders about the internet and lands on an odd website. The website, featuring a number of questions and a point-based system, allows one to create skills and abilities for a character. Upon completing his character, Kaga was transported to a game-like fantasy world and reborn as a strong man who can claim idol-level girls. Thus begins the cheat and harem legend of a reborn man. Studio is Passione. The source is a light novel. The genres are drama, ecchi, fantasy, romance. And the director is Naoyuki Tatsuya, who did Nisekoi. And it's streaming on Crunchyroll, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Andrew did that to taunt me. He sent me a message at some point.
I always put the streaming service when the sites actually work.
He texted me and he said, hey, guess who got your show? I'm like, please don't say it. Please don't say it. Crunchyroll. No.
To be fair, I don't think this is even listed on like ATX or anything like that in Japan, so I don't even know if Japan's getting an uncensored version or if it's even going to get that, I don't know, questionable. It could be a very censored version of it.
Well, I mentioned this before. It's not, I mean, yeah, it'll probably get caught up in that that group where they'll go on and on about it, but the first scenes, quote unquote, if you want to call it that, is probably going to be near episode 3 or 4 before they ever get to any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it'll really depend on how fast they chew through the content, which I hope they take their time with it, because the show is going to be very in his head. But yeah, I'm super hype about this show. I've been screaming about how ever since I heard that they were actually doing this. This is one of the very few stories that I had kind of picked up just on a whim. The concept was kind of fun, and I went digging into it, and I really like it. And when they announced it, I was super hype about it. I've been trying to, I tried for a very long time to kind of keep my excitement about this down kind of lower tiered, but
right,
because I don't want to overhype it for everybody
like
else.
Every time we talk about it, every time we talk about something close to it, he has to go, so where's my one show? Does my one show get an adaptation yet? Like, if you bring up, did my one show get an adaptation, literally every other discussional, you're not doing a good job. So you've watched Nisekoi. You got the feel of this director and how they put together scenes and how they, you know, handle things. Good director for it, I'm guessing?
Yes, because
mostly obviously not going to have the style of that, because that was Shaft, right?
Yeah. I'm going to assume, because the team that they've got, there's only one thing about this so far that I'm kind of peeved about.
That Roxanne or whatever is super thick.
Yes.
super thick. Not that there's anything wrong with her being super thick. It's just that her character doesn't seem to be super thick in all the other art.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, it's not that that's necessarily going to be a bad thing. I like her because she's more of a motherly type figure. Roxanne is.
Oh, so she needs to be thick.
No, I wouldn't say that. She's just more. I think that the voice actress that they picked for her is fantastic. They picked Krista, which from
Chris Attack has to tell me every 2 minutes.
from Attack on Titan, she's a very more kind of more low key, yet has a very feminine voice, and so I think that that will really work well for Roxanne as this kind of more soothing type character, which is what Roxanne is to a T. So yeah, I'm super excited. This is the same group that did Ishiko
Reviewers? Yeah, Interspecies Reviewers. Yeah, that's gonna be dangerous.
Nice.
So it's definitely going to get dropped by Crunchyroll. Here we go. Here we go again. Okay, we joked about this when their Species Reviewers was picked up by Funimation. What did we say? What are you doing? What are you doing, Funimation? You shouldn't be touching this. Why are you licensing this? And sure enough, within an episode, they're literally dropping the entire title from their website. And we have to get it through another company physically just to watch it. They're doing it again. The same exact. They're going literally into the same door, and they're going, "Hey, what's up, guys? I'm sorry about the whole Interspecies Reviewer thing. I know, water under the bridge." And they're like, "Don't worry about it. We got another show. You're gonna love it." They're like, "Really? Yeah. Here, take this one. It's about this guy that goes into that gets a harem and in this isekai dungeon. Is there any raunchy stuff in it? Nah, man. There's like just, you know, maybe some later possible stuff." adult stuff, but you know, oh, it's fine. Let's take it. Let's take it. They're going to do it again. They're literally going to do it again. But no, I mean, Miracle-chan also looked really fantastic. So it's a good studio when they want to be, but because they've done things like Rokka 5 or 6 Flowers and stuff, which weren't that great looking, but they can definitely put the quality in where the quality needs to be. That's for sure.
I have a lot of hopes for this. I mean, everything about it should work out fantastic. I'm holding out hope of they're not going to push some of the stuff. To give everybody an idea, I in some ways the synopsis is kind of not well. When it says that he went to a random website, he didn't. He's on the edge of he needs some he feels like he needs something to push him over the edge of how do I put this? He's considering ending his life. So in some ways it's he's kind of he doesn't want to because he doesn't want to feel pain. And so he's going from website to website. And this one website, he bumps into a what he thinks is an invitation to a MMO. And so that's when he gets into the whole creating your character and all that stuff. And he just, because he's basically can't handle not having a perfect settings, he just keeps clicking through and clicking through, and that'll probably be a 5-minute section of him clicking, because that's how long they went through this entire process in the story or in the novel. So that brings him into this other world when he clicks accept and everything like that. So yeah, there is aspects to this world that I know for a very strong fact that people will not like about this story. And so that's why I say I wish Crunchyroll did not pick this up in any way, shape, or form. Nothing about this is good that Crunchyroll picked it up. I almost guarantee you what Andrew said about them dropping it is almost a guarantee. I hope not. I really do. I hold out hope that they're going to be kind of gentle. But yeah, nothing about this is a good thing on the Western side anyway.
Did Roxanne say that? Please be gentle. Are you?
I'm not gonna answer.
What is that? Is that like what? Not the Freudian slip. It's the what's the other one? Where you just slip something out unintentionally because it's in your mind. Anyways, yeah, I don't think they still have, like, listing... No, it's got ATX. Oh, man, there is an ATX version. Yeah, we're not getting that one. We're not getting that one. We'll be getting the, I don't know, Tokyo MX probably version or something.
I'm just dumbfounded.
I guess Chris is downloading this show.
I don't
this
understand.
This is for sure dropping off of Crunchyroll then.
Exactly. There's... I'm hoping that
but you're saying like all the like super raunchy stuff is later.
There is aspects that they could use to their advantage, but it's similar in some ways to the slave harem or the harem in the future show that we just had. Where he goes to sleep and wakes up in the future. There's only 5 girls to every million guys or something like that.
Oh, World's End Harem.
Yeah, World's End Harem. It's going to be kind of similar in aspects to that.
It's a bunch of pixelized black squares everywhere?
Probably. but it's more along the lines of when he goes to those areas. It's not like his entire world is covered in... naked ladies. It's going to be literally he's going to have to go to that section, and there is an aspect that he does go to that area.
Red light district kind of thing.
Red light district, yeah. So it's not like it's constantly in your face. It's literally he's going to go to that.
Yeah. I truth be told, I don't think there's going to be a problem with this being on Crunchyroll. Like I said, it's going to be the censored version, no doubt. This will not be they will not get the ATX version. They never do. It's very rare case whenever a company actually gets the uncensored version for streaming, which I think is, yes, technically right now they have, the Shin Ikutosin, but that literally didn't have a censored version. All they had was an uncensored version. Now, I think Interspecies Reviewers was just like a very odd case that it was landing at the time. There was an issue happening at the time with the voice actors, and they didn't want that bad publicity, like a possibility. I think even one of the people involved was going to do a voice in that show. And so they decided to drop it because of that. Because they've had plenty of raunchy stuff. Again, they technically had World's End Harem on Crunchyroll, granted super censored. And I think they'll have this in that same regard. I just don't think we're going to have the ATX version. I think this might be one of those ones where you might just want to just get it through other means if they don't. And that's their fault because they're not getting the proper version that needs to be getting. So
I'm putting all kinds of hope in you, High Dive. I really am. Please grab the physical release. Please.
True.
I do. I guarantee you I will purchase this if I see it.
You haven't even watched it yet. It's going to be like super thick and wonky looking and it's going to fall apart and it's just going to have all the scenes cut.
Probably. I don't care. I'm still going to want it. I want it. I love Roxy. I love the girls later. So, yeah. It's worth it.
There you go. Harem in another world. I keep wanting to say Harem in another world. Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World. There you go. We'll see how train wreck that turns out to be. Let's get into some more ecchi. We got a lineup of ecchi now. Kinso no Vermeil. Gakkeppuchi? That goes like Gakkeppuchi. Gakkeppuchi. Majutsushi wa Saikyo no Yakusai to Maho Sekai wo Suki Susumu. Or the Royal Ortigia? Royal Ortigia Magic Academy. No, that's the synopsis, sorry. What is the Japanese, what's the English title for this one? I don't think I wrote it down. No, don't do that.
Oh my gosh.
Is there no possible English title for this thing? I need something.
Go to translate.
That's going to butcher it. You know it.
Yeah, I know, but you're obviously not going to get it any other way, so.
I was hoping that there would be like a wiki or something.
Is she supposed to be a succubus?
I'm assuming. Vermeil in
Dear
gold,
heavens,
a desperate mage, a magician, barges into the magical world alongside the strongest calamity. I'm guessing she's the strongest calamity. So yeah, Vermeil
what
in
calamity?
Gold. Vermeil in gold. So Vermeil in gold is at Royal Ortigia Magic Academy. Alto, on the verge of failing the summoning magic class and having to repeat the year, stumbles upon a grimoire and draws a magic circle, summoning the sealed demon Vermeil and making her his familiar. She has been a feared devil since ancient times and possesses tremendous power to cause disasters. Vermeil, as a familiar, necessitates magical energy on a daily basis. Oh, I wonder how she does that. Which she obtains from Alto via passionate kissing. Man, because that's super lewd for Japan.
You can say this is passionate kissing. You could say that.
No, he just touched his pelvis and he got all excited as they do. Because he's a boku. He looks like a boku character.
I guarantee you he's a boku character.
Lilia, Alto's childhood friend, who's probably the purple hair or pink hair girl that just went crazy, grows envious of their relationship while the students are also taken aback by the unprecedented familiar. The Royal Road Fantasy? What the hell is that? The Royal Road Fantasy of a magician on the edge of failure and an unhealthy devil sister begins. What's the Royal Road Fantasy? Like, is Royal Roads like some sort of like writing term?
I don't know.
The Royal Road Fantasy. Like, I get like the rom-com fantasy or the isekai fantasy, but the Royal Road Fantasy? What the hell is that? I hate these synopses so much because I struggle with them and I can't fathom their writing pattern sometimes. Anyways, this one, the thing I got out of this one is it looks fine. I'm not too fond of some of the character designs, but I'm going to hate this on the main character alone. Like, the PV, I already hate the main character. I absolutely hate the main character. And I feel like this is going to be one of those ones where everybody goes, this show's stupid because the main character's an idiot. Because it's got one of those boku boku, please don't touch me, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, boku boku, runs away kind of things. But we'll see. And hopefully it doesn't get picked up by Crunchyroll. It probably will, though. I'm guessing this is another one that might have an ATX version because the PV is already pretty risque. Now, it could be one of those ones where it just cuts away just in time kind of things, but yes, it's got an ATX version. So this one will have a version that's probably going to be uncensored and one that's going to be censored. So keep that in mind. But yeah, we'll see. The other problem this one has, and I think it's really what I'm getting from the PV already, is it's got a studio working on it, Staple Entertainment, that's not really known for doing anything themselves. They're just really a lot of in-betweens for other companies. So good luck on this one keeping decently visually for past the first episode. This is probably one of those ones that kind of falls apart at some point. But the sources of manga, genres are ecchi fantasy. The director is Takashi Naoya, who did 3D Kanojo, Childhood Friend Won't Lose, and series composition by Tatsuya Takahashi, who did Been Killing Slimes for 300 Years, Idolmaster, Cinderella Girls, Adioli Pride, and Domestic Girlfriend. So, decent team behind it, honestly. So, we'll see. We'll see if the studio can keep it up. Obviously, you know, those first-time studios can sometimes really knock it out of the park, so we'll see. So is this this? I don't know. I was gonna say this looks like Rosario X Vampire-ish, but he technically, it is a school of summoning, so obviously it'll be something normal to have a crazy succubus chick fall in your... No, she's not a succubus. She's a demon that needs to get power like a succubus, so...
She's got a succubus tell. She's a succubus.
She's a demon.
She
can have...
Devils, succubus devils, are demons.
Right. I don't understand where you're going with that. Devils have tails like that, too. They don't have to be succubuses to have that tail. I don't know. Chris is very knowledgeable in succubuses, apparently. Yes,
I am. I will not explain why.
Anywho. Vermil in gold. A desperate magician barges into the magical world alongside the strongest calamity. Look forward to that if you're interested. Moving on, we have Engage Kiss. This is one that I don't think I really had on my radar at all until I seen the PV. And then I was like, I'm sold. I want this now. The anime is set in Beilong City, an artificial island city established outside of any country's jurisdiction. That would work out well. That's always going to work out well. In the Pacific Ocean, to exploit local natural resources. In particular, the mining of the new energy source Orgonium has resulted in an outbreak of disasters. That's not Japan, please, dude. By demons in the city. Private military companies are tasked with dealing with these incidents. The protagonist, Shu, runs a small private military company, though his spending habits have left him constantly penniless. A demon girl named Kisara does contract work for Shu's office and constantly is worried about him. Kisara attends a high school in Beilong City and does everything from clerk work to housework chores with confidence. Meanwhile, Ayano is Shu's ex-girlfriend, an elite agent and former work colleague in a major private military company that Shu used to work for. So, you obviously have guy running a company. He's terrible at it. You have cute demon girl that wants to help him. And then you have cute childhood friend or ex-girlfriend that doesn't probably like the demon girl. I already calling it. Anyways, Suyo is A1 Pictures. Source is original. The genres are action, comedy, supernatural, romance. And the writer behind this one is Fumiaki Maruto, who has done Saikano How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend, White Album, and Classroom Crisis. The character designs by Sunako, who did Day Live, Verge, Hyperdimension Neptunia. So, yeah, it looks great. It already looks great. I'm actually, it was kind of one of those things where you always get a mixed bag with A1 Pictures, and this is definitely one that looks like they're going to be doing a lot of really good work with it. A lot of the action scenes already look fantastic. The characters look absolutely cute. I really like the pink hair girl. She looks like she's going to have a little bit of a teasiness about her that's going to be great. So we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, what stood out to me was the action scenes. They look absolutely fantastic. I'm super hyped just based on the action scenes alone. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the character designs are great too. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Now, the quick big question mark is going to be like the overall story. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. Again, we technically have a writer that's more known for characters than like big plot lines. So that's going to be the big question mark. Again, technically working Saikano, White Album, Classroom Crisis. Classroom Crisis, I think where it got to the bigger stuff was where its downfall was at. So again, but this writer's really good at characters. And so that's why I know that I'm going to love all these characters a lot, is because their work with characters with like Saikano, especially. I just loved Eddie and stuff. So we'll see. But yeah, visually alone, it looks fantastic. So we'll see. Engage Kiss. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. Moving on. Ruby Ice Queendom. Probably the biggest shock announcements that we had in the last couple, like literally couple months. Just came out of nowhere and they said, hey, it's coming in the summer. Yeah, this one's crazy. For those that are the synopsis for Ruby Ice Queendom, this presents a Ruby in a beautiful 2D anime visuals. Ruby imagines a world filled with horrific monsters bent on death and destruction, and humanity's only hope is dependent upon powerful huntsmen and huntresses. Ruby Rose, Wei Shnei, Blake Belladonna, I don't know if these are English or Japanese or Chinese, and Yang Zhang Long are four such huntresses. Please leave comments saying how much you hated how I pronounced those names. I love it.
I'm pretty sure that's Blake, by the way.
Blake. I don't know. It's like as I said. I don't know if it's Japanese or Chinese or English or what. There's like
it's English.
Nothing signifies this will be English. So is this English too? Obviously, it was it's Chinese.
It was written by English people, so it's probably English.
No, it was written by Monty Ohm. Well, he technically is.
He's definitely not English.
He's Asian, but sure, you can assume that he speaks English natively. I don't know. I don't make the writing. I just struggle with reading synopses that are in different languages. Like, Schwartz and Markin.
I was just trying to help you with Blake.
No, you're criticizing me for not assuming that this has to be English. I get enough of it from the comments section. Like, oh, this is actually this, so you have to pronounce it. It doesn't say, like, this is going to be Chinese. So this is English then, because this is written by an English person, right?
I don't know. I was just helping you with Blake. You got defensive.
But I said what signifies, and you said because it's an English writer. So this is obviously English, right? I'm just showing you how dumb that thought process is. That just bugs me. That's fine. Thanks, Chris. Ruby Rose, Wise Schnee, Blake, Belladonna. And Yang Zhao Long are four such huntsmen in training whose journeys will take them as far past the grounds of their school, Beacon Academy. That's an easy one to read. Though each of them may be powerful on their own, these four girls must overcome dark forces that work as a team if they truly hope to become the next generation of Remnant's protectors. This is being done by Studio Shaft. This is the crazy thing. So it's basically Ruby, again, based off of Monty Ohm's work that he did for Rooster Teeth or whatever. Obviously, unfortunately, he has passed away. And it does seem like, I guess somebody... I don't know if this... I've yet to find, like, something that says specifically. Like, I don't know if this is Rooster Teeth that says pump a bunch of money into an anime. If this is, like, an homage to Monty Ohm done by a certain group or what. But it's like... Shaft is working on it, so it's going to have some crazy animation. You have, again, director Kinjiro Okada, who did March Comes Like a Lion. You also have another director, Toshimasa Suzuki, who worked on Fafnir the Aggressor and Gets a Rise. You have planning and animation concept by Jinro Butchi. which whatever the hell that means. The theme song being done by TK from Ling Tosite Shikori. You have character designs by Fook, obviously, because I think he did the original ones. I'm not sure. But yeah, crazy team behind it. Absolutely crazy team behind it. And like I said, I don't know if somebody got some dirt on somebody or what, but it is kind of a dream team kind of thing. Again, I don't know if a lot of this stuff is just putting their names on it just to sell it, but it's crazy stuff. And I'm always mixed when it comes to Shaft. I'm obviously not the biggest Shaft fan, but I do love a lot of their works that's come out from them. But you cannot doubt some of this animation just blows me away. It's one of those things where in most of the scenes, it looks very flat. But then when you see the action scenes, it's like, this is what I kind of wanted when everybody was hyping up Ruby for me to go watch it. It was like, I just don't like how it looks. I mean, all credit to Monty Ohm for doing the work they did solo, but it's not visually my kind of cup of tea. But this is like, oh, this is how I wanted it to look. This is how I wanted it to look. So yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if they have listed maybe producers behind it.
There was aspects to Ruby. I when everybody was super hype on it, I did go and check it out just to see it, to see what the hype was about. And I give it all the credit in the world. So the action scenes looked fantastic when they went all out. The storyline was generally interesting. I did really like the kind of underworld magic, as kind of a, not necessarily a drug, but kind of this underworld, trafficking of the magic essence or whatever it was. It was some kind of a dust that they were passing around. And then all the girls just somehow ending up involved in all this and trying to deal with the hunter aspect and all that stuff and how they were getting kind of tied up into this kind of underworld thing that was going on. So there was a lot of aspects that I did really enjoy about the storyline. I liked a lot of the characters. But the one thing that I did say when I did end up watching a lot of this is, while I do like the action scenes, I do like the concepts, I do like the characters, I don't like the voice acting. I don't like the visuals. And like Andrew was saying, I don't like that, that kind of 3D, almost flash, feel of it. Granted, that was back then, and we've a lot of things have changed since then when it comes to the CG world. And I hope that if somebody does something that it won't come off as robotic as they did back then. But when it comes down to it, one thing I did want more than anything was the Japanese voice actresses, which they have since released that, and I did intend on going back, but now I have even more reason that now I've got it done by Shaft, which I'm super hyped for. So I hope that they capture the essence of what it was, and all they're doing is just translating it to an anime, which there's nothing else left to argue about for those of you who have been holding out.
Yeah, I know that eventually, of course, they sent it over to Japan and they redub it there, the original work by Monty. They moved it over there and they kind of did that re-dubbing of it in Japanese. And then I know that the Phantom, I think, really took off when they started releasing it in, as a manga. And I was curious if that was going to be what this was eventually going to be about. I don't think I've really had anybody really confirm that. But it is interesting to note that the producers behind this is Good Smile Company and Bandai Namco Pic Arts. So I don't know if Bandai Namco Arts was the group that actually published the manga. I was trying to look it up while Chris was talking, and I've obviously failed. But it's just one of those ones where I'm really curious. I'm going to be curious about the story behind this. The story behind this is going to be probably more interesting to me than anything else. But I'm looking forward to it. It looks fun. This will be my introduction to the Ruby world. Chris has dabbled into it, but I haven't really touched it at all. So
it does seem like that I'm getting, I've seen some, you know, side by side comparisons. So hopefully they're going to just be doing it from Weiss's perspective, the storyline of RWBY. So it'll be fun. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hey, Weiss is my favorite character anyway. So
Taboon. Tubman. I was going to see if I can cross with Mal, but Mal apparently is dead right now. So, rip Mal. Rip Mal. There we go. Let's move on to one of Andrew's most exciting shows coming up. I put this in the top area for the new shows because this is technically a remake. Well, same as Ruby was as well. So, yeah, this one is Tokyo Mew Mew New. The scientists of the Mew Project use DNA of endangered species to create a team of heroines imbued with amazing superhuman abilities. One of them, Ichigo Momomiya, awakens to discover she is armed with all the skills of a Iriomote cat. It's a weird name for cat. Ichigo must band together with the other Mew Mew girls to repel the alien incursion, all the while hiding their thrilling double lives from friends and family. This one's being done by Yumeta Company Graphinica. The source is a manga, the genres are adventure, comedy, fantasy, maho shoujo, romance, sci-fi. Director is Takahiro Natori, who did Aria, the two new recent movies. Series composition by... Okay, I'm not going to name it. We've already talked about my pronunciation. It's Benedizione and Crepuscolo. Hopefully that's decently right. Series composition by Yuka Yamada, who did Miss Kobayashi Dragon Maid and Wataten. And, of course, the original creator of the story was Reiko Yoshida, who did a lot of stuff for Kyoto Animation, as well as the Hike story. But, yeah, super jazzed for this. I've mentioned several times before, I am a huge Tokyo Mew Mew fan. Cardcaptor Sakura technically was my Sailor Moon, but this is kind of along there with it. Just one of those titles that I ran into at some point. Just wanting to look into more. I want to say that the timeline was that I watched Cardcaptor Sakura, and I really fell in love with Magical Girls at that point. And then I think I was looking around for other titles, and I found Tokyo Mew Mew and Shugo Chara, and I absolutely love them. So I am super hyped for this coming back. The only thing that I have that is putting a little pause on it is the fact that they kind of went out of their way to get nothing but new voice actresses, which does concern me a little bit, because I think voicing is very important, and sometimes I feel like everybody needs their first opportunity to get in there. Obviously you can't have experience until you actually do it, but it does give me a little bit of pause that they just kind of went out there and just grabbed anybody that wanted to try out for it. Obviously they hailed a tryout, so they would have to have done a good job, but that's the only thing that I have a little bit of pause on. But the rest of it, I'm super happy to see these characters come back. I absolutely adore this series. It's super cute. Visually, it already looks great. It kind of plays like a little bit into the old style while trying to obviously polish it up a little bit. My big question mark that I have, honestly, is going to be around how well they're going to polish it up to be more to new standards, because obviously it's been a while since the original one came out, and it was okay pacing, if I remember correctly, back then, so I don't think it's going to be too bad. But it might need a little bit of polishing of pacing to kind of bring it to new standards, because obviously these days everybody wants everything faster. Pacing needs to be a little bit faster. So we'll see.
Definitely excited about this. I have checked it out mostly on Andrew's suggestion quite a few times. I never finished it, but yeah, I definitely dug into it quite a bit. So yeah, I am excited about this. I love the visuals. They look good. I agree with Andrew. It's actually capturing the essence of the feel of the old style, and still feels like it's been cleaned up and polished and feels new at the same time. So yeah, I'm super excited about it.
I was totally convinced that the little mascot character was going to be Tama. Because in the trailer, it sounds like Tama, but then I looked it up and it wasn't Tama. So unless they just made a mistake on the listings for it. But yeah, I'm surprised you didn't finish it, because they have a wolf girl. One of the girls is a wolf girl. They have a monkey girl, a wolf girl. I remember liking the wolf girl.
I was seeing her looking up into the light. That is so the monkey girl. She's just such a goofball.
Yeah, I seem to remember liking the monkey girl a lot, but obviously, cat girl, best girl. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe might change my mind with this new cast. We'll see. But yeah, I'm super happy about this one. Again, seeing this very kind of a nostalgia part of me coming back is a lot of fun. So yeah, yeah, yeah. Moving on. Let's get into some wholesome stuff, Chris. We have the Yakuza's Guide to Babysitting. Kumicho Musume to Sewa Gakari. This one is Kirishima Toru, is the right-hand man of the Sakuragi crime family. For him, the job is a perfect excuse to let his violent instincts run wild, earning him the nickname of the Demon of Sakuragi. It seems like nothing will stand in the way of this vicious nature. But then one day, he receives an assignment unlike anything before, to babysit the daughter of his boss. This is the heartwarming, or the blood-curdling, story of a little girl and her Yakuza caretaker. Being done by Studio Lead... Student Lead and Phil. What am I... Lead and Phil's in my head. Studio Phil and Gaina. The sources of manga, the genres are comedy, slice of life. The director is Itsuro Kawasaki, who did Listen to Me, Girls, I'm Your Father, Be the Beginning, and Magical Girl Ore. The series composition by Keichiro Ochi, who did Quintessential Quintuplets, Hinamatsuri, and The Demon Girl Next Door. So, a really solid series composition writer. I think the director is solid on a certain point, but... It's like, Listen to Me, Girls, I'm Your Father was like one of those ones where I really liked it for the wholesome nature of it. And then, like, unfortunately, they had that one side character that was like, had to pervert the entire thing. Like, it was like, you have a pretty wholesome idea here. But then all of a sudden, this guy come in that has to pervert it all the time. It's like, if that character wasn't in there, I think this is a perfect comparison here with just the wholesome nature of taking care of this girl. But... we'll see. I think the voice that they chose for it works out in the end, even though I wanted Kendro Suda. But I think just both roles seems like they're doing a great job just based on the PV. It looks really cute. I was kind of expecting it to be more comedy-driven, very loud. But the PV that we have, anyways, is extremely laid back and much more wholesome. So I'm guessing... that should be what my expectations should be. It's not loud, goofy shenanigans, but more wholesome. But the idea of the little cute girl taming the wild beast, basically.
I love the contrast type shows, and this seems like it could be one of those where it's him over exaggerating situations and her kind of toning it down with, you know, cutesiness. So I love that contrasting nature between the two. So I'm very excited about this. Easily probably one of the ones that I'm most interested in seeing. And I hope that it doesn't get stuck in a short category or something like that. So, yeah.
I guess my big question mark is how is it going to play out? Because the PV or the synopsis makes it seem like this guy is a rough dude. He just wants to get his violence out. And then it's like everything in the PV just looks like he's very chill. And it's like, so are they going to have maybe an episode of him being pretty, not that he's going to be violent to her, but that he's going to be really annoyed by the fact that he has to be with her because he just wants to go out there and beat the crap out of people. So it does seem like it's overplaying it in the synopsis. And I don't know that it's going to be that bad, but it does lead to the idea that, you know, when it does come down to somebody probably wanting to come after this girl because of who her father is, this dude's going to let loose. And it's probably going to be really epic, even though it's probably going to be very tragic at the same time as she's probably not going to like the situation. But there you go. There's some violent scenes in the second PV. He's going to crack this bottle over some dude's head. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be really cute, so... it's obviously one of those things where probably the boss knows that he's too violent and that he needs to chill out and probably wants to just give him an opportunity to chill a little bit. I'm not sure that I would trust some random dude that's super known for being violent with my daughter, but it makes a cute story, so why not? The Yakuza's Guide to Babysitting. Definitely looking forward to that one. For sure. All right, moving on. We have Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer. Stupidest title ever, I know. Hoshi no Samidare One day, college student Yuhi is approached by talking lizard Sir Noi Croissant. Croissant immediately launches into a fantastical story. The powerful mage, Animus, intends to destroy the Earth with its biscuit hammer, a huge contraption looming high in Earth's orbit. Earth's only hope lies in the princess and her beast knights, whose task is protecting the princess and defeating Animus. Yuhi is chosen as the lizard beast knight, and despite having his misgiving, is quickly forced to defend himself against a golem created by the mage. He is saved by his neighbor, the princess Asahina Samidare, and swears loyalty to her. However, the princess does not intend to save the Earth at all. She lets Yuhi in on her real motivations to prevent Animus from destroying the Earth, only to then annihilate the planet by her own hands. The pair continues to fight off attacks by Animus' golems, while the remaining beast knights are slowly being gathered and learning to use their powers. But Yuhi will have to decide for himself whether to go along with Asahina's plans, whom he is getting close to, or save the Earth. In the process, he must also confront his true self and determine where his loyalties lie. I must ask at this point, Chris, does this look familiar to you? Does the PV look familiar at all to you?
No, not really.
Okay. So as I was putting together this outline, this is the one that really shocked me, honestly. Because I was looking at the PV as we were doing it on stream, and I was like, and you can look at the VOD. I basically go, this looks like Planet With. Like, it was giving me vibes of Planet With for some reason. And sure enough, this is by the same creator as Planet With. And suddenly my jokes about the fact that the title's stupid, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, and the synopsis was kind of a little corny, and I suddenly went, oh, I now have, like, this extreme anticipation for this show, like, none other in this entire list. For those who don't know, Planet With is an incredible show. It was one of those shows where, like, the PB and the key art was like, this looks like a kid's show. It has a goofy kid with his mask and this cat robot thing and this maid. And he goes out and he's this superhero character. And then, like, as the show goes along, it starts peeling away, like, all these layers of intrigue. And it starts getting into, like, revenge, justice, injustice, and all this crazy stuff. This is legit. Planet With was, like, one of my favorite shows of 2018. And goes down as one of the biggest surprises of a show in a long time. And I think me and Chris were pretty hype on it that year. We wanted people to go watch it because it surprised us so much. I even went back and listened to my review on it when I did my top 2018 shows video. And I was like, yeah, I'm starting to remember all this stuff about that show that just completely blew us away. You're following the villain. The villain turns out to be, you know, his own reasons. There's a little bit of intrigue about the world that he once was from that was destroyed by this dragon. It's getting into, like, the fact that he's fighting off all these heroes that are stopping these weird creatures that are attacking different civilizations. And villain characters that you think are villains are actually really interesting. And it was such a good story. Now, I admit this sounds a little bit close and samey to Planet With. The idea that you're technically playing, you're following the main character who seems to be like a quote-unquote villain that... this girl wants to destroy the world. Why would they be doing it? But if this writer isn't one of those types that just has lightning in the bottle for the first one with the Planet With, I'm really hyped for the show because I know that this writer is really good at just very dynamic characters alone and things not being as they seem and unveiling and, you know, and revealing a lot of really interesting twists and turns in the story that will be absolutely fantastic. So,
yeah, after you mentioned it, I can see why you would say a lot of things are very similar to Planet With in the way that it feels in general. So yeah, I can see that. I do love the idea of facing themselves in a lot of cases. I was sitting there going, my first inclination as we were, you know, watching this and I was digesting what you were saying, the the idea of the princess who wants to destroy the world is saving you. I mean, why bother saving him if she's going to destroy the world anyway?
She needs his power.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she's very powerful. She could have some powers, but I think she needs the knights to be able to fight off the biscuit hammer. The biscuit hammer. What's with biscuits? Sabaqui Bisco. I guess it might. Well, Bisco was a mushroom or something like that. So I don't know.
I thought it was a cookie. An old. It's a cookie, isn't it?
Oh. Sabaqui, I thought was Rust Eater, and then Bisco was the mushroom. I don't know. Sabaqui Bisco was a show. It was basically,
I thought that
Rusty
was his
Bisco.
Name, and he was named after a cookie. But that, hey, I didn't watch that far into it. Just that they made the reference to a cookie.
Could be. It could be a mushroom cookie. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyways, like I said, this show literally turned from like a kid's show to basically one of my most anticipated shows of this year in just one name drop, and that's Satoshi Mizukami, again, the creator of Planet With. So. I highly suggest people go watch Planet With, please. It's a phenomenal show. It has so many twists and turns in its narrative. Like we mentioned before, we kept mentioning the idea of the layers of an onion. As you pulled away, you're getting so many different reveals that were just changing what you thought of each character every single episode. I mean, the concept of the ED was around this idea of masks and pulling away those masks, and how it portrayed that was like significance to each of the characters. But if you don't plan on watching Planet With, just know this writer's really good. Or at least Planet With's writing was phenomenal. And so that could be enough reason to check out this show, or at least give it a shot. So, and if you end up enjoying this show, know that you can go back and watch Planet With too. So I can't wait. I'm super jazzed for this show, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer. I am beside myself with excitement for that one. So, let's move on to some Tangirl. Let's move on to some Tangirl Best Girl. Chris, are you ready for Tangirl Best Girl?
Of course.
We have the maid I hired recently is mysterious, or as I like to keep making the joke, recently my maid is unusual. Saiken yatota meido ga ayashi. There's something really strange about the maid I just hired. No normal person could be so beautiful or cook such amazing, delicious food or know exactly what I'm going to switch this to make it funnier or know exactly what Boku want before Boku even ask, because you know he's going to say Boku a lot. She must be using magic, right? A spell is the only thing that I can imagine to explain why my chest feels so tight whenever I look at her. I swear I'm going to get to the bottom of what makes this maid so mysterious. Being done by Studio Blade and Silverlink, the source of the manga.
He's confused about his Doki Dokis.
Boku. The interesting thing behind this series is that it pretty much has the same team and everything. And the original creator, as Jahi-sama, will not be defeated, which you can definitely tell if you check out the PV for this. Like I said, Tangirl, Best Girl. Same kind of eyes that they're kind of known for. But yes, the original creator is Wakame Konbu, who's done, again, the great Jahi Will Not Be Defeated. And the director is Mirai Minato, who did Jahi-sama Will Not Be Defeated, as well as Fate Collide Line of Prisma Ilia and Masamune Kun's Revenge. So, great. I admit that Jahi-sama Will Not Be Defeated had lulling points, but I give it two really great things. It had some really funny comedic beats in there. The creator has a really great style to them, and the eyes, the eyes. I love the eyes so much. But yeah, the PV sold me like really badly on this show. She looks absolutely gorgeous. I cannot wait to watch her. Plus, I think she has two moles. Like they were like, eh, you like moles? We have two moles under the eyes. So I cannot wait for it. I admittedly will probably get possibly a little annoyed by the boy, because I'm sure he's going to be constantly going, oh my gosh, what is she doing? Oh, doki doki. But I think just her alone is going to be enough to watch the show, so I cannot wait for it. Maybe like a Duke of Death and his maid, but with the boy being really young and not knowing what love is. But I don't know. I'll be curious to see if it's something more than just the mystery of her being gorgeous and he doesn't know what these feelings are. And if it ends up being something that she's actually got something about her that's mysterious. or if it's just legit, he's learning about what
makes
he's
a girl
hitting
a girl.
Puberty. Yeah, if it's more than just him hitting puberty. She looks great, though. I cannot wait.
Yeah, definitely. She looks fantastic. And I love the idea of just a cutesy, fun slice of life type show. So yeah, excited.
Yep. The maid I hired recently is mysterious. Looking forward to that one. Moving on, we have Isekai Uncle or Isekai Ojisan. I think the title for the licensing right now is Uncle from Another World, which unfortunately is Netflix. So don't be expecting to watch this legally for a while, unfortunately. But yeah, that's they announced that Netflix did announce that they picked up this title. They said that it's going to be in Japan the moment that it hits, but anywhere else later date. So again, put on that pirate hat or wait at least 3 weeks. If they decide to do it weekly, it'll be probably 3 weeks delay like they usually do. Anyways, moving on, the synopsis for a Uncle from Another World is 17 years ago, Takafumi's uncle fell into a coma, but now he's back, like a man raised from his grave. Soon, Takafumi discovers two bizarre things, his uncle's treasured video game above all else, and while comatose, he was actually transported into another world as some heroic guardian. Now, not only does Takafumi have to room with the uncle who is literally magical, he also has to catch the guy on two decades worth of history, smartphones, high-speed internet, modern anime tropes, and the traumatic outcome of the 90s console war. That synopsis sucks. but yeah, basically, uncle goes into a coma, comes back, and then through conversations with him, realizes, oh my gosh, this dude's talking about this world that he was at. I think the joke that they had was that he mentions this concept of this elf in this other world literally being Tsundere, and that's the telling point, is like, wait, the concept of Tsundere wasn't popularized until after he fell into a coma. Which I'd argue somebody could have turned on a television and he heard it, because that's kind of a concept to people that are, you know, in comatose, that they can still hear things. But this is one of those ones where as I watch more on it, I get more excited for it. And unfortunately, the announcement from Netflix kind of really was a bummer to me, because I was starting to actually get kind of excited for this. This is like the concept behind this sounds like it could be hilarious and really cool, take on Isekai, or really dumb. I'm hoping, like I said, it's one of those ones where it's going to be one or the other. It's either going to be really dumb or it's going to be really fun. There's other key arts are hinting at certain things that I kind of hope it's not going to be, because it kind of spoils what's going to happen. But it does look like a lot of fun in this is going to be that he's going to be kind of trapped in his persona a little bit. Like, he's going to be interacting with other people, and then suddenly this idea of him being a mage in the other world comes out. And so he acts like he has magical powers when he doesn't, because he keeps getting back into his old persona. It doesn't look visually great, besides some certain shots of the elf girl, which seems like they want to put a lot of effort into her. But like, overall, it doesn't look that great. But I have a lot of hope for it, just based on a possible concept that could be really hilarious. So your thoughts?
I am optimistic, honestly. I like the idea of, how do I put this, having the perspective of somebody who went there and coming back and trying to explain it from that perspective. So I like that concept. And like Andrew was mentioning, the idea of him being having powers over there but not here, and so he's having a hard time adjusting back and forth between the two worlds. I like that concept, and I hope that they can honestly pull that off. That more than anything is what I'm hoping that they're going to actually do.
Yeah, and it seems like it shows some shots where he's using abilities, and I don't know if it's going to be something that's like it's in his head kind of things, or if it's he actually knows how to use abilities in this world. Yeah, he's got like this whole goofy shinobi act, and then suddenly someone's at the door with a package, and he snaps out of it. We'll see. It could be really fantastic. Unfortunately, it's not going to be too fantastic because Netflix. Stop grabbing our anime, Netflix, unless you're going to do it right. Unless you're going to do it like Disney. Disney, don't grab our anime unless you're going to do it right. Nobody likes people keeping stuff from us. Moving on from Uncle in Another World, we have Black Summoner, or Kuro no Shokanshi. This one is waking up in a strange new place with no memory of his past life. Kelvin learns that he's bartered away those very memories in exchange for powerful new abilities during his recent transmigration, heading out into a whole new world as a summoner, with his follower being the very goddess who brought him over. Kelvin begins his new life as an adventurer, and it isn't long before he discovers his hidden disposition as a battle junkie. From the Black Knight of the ancient castle of evil spirits to the demon within the hidden cave of the sage, he reveals in the fight against one formidable foe after another, join his OP adventures in an exhilarating and epic saga as he and his allies carve their way into the annals of history. So another reborn OP in fantasy world. I think they're trying to move away from isekais and they're moving more into the reborn in a fantasy world, not isekai into a fantasy world. Reborn later in history, I guess. It could be a transfer to another world, but it doesn't seem, obviously it seems like he's from fantasy world to another fantasy world. I'm not sure if it's the same fantasy world. It says transmigration, so I'm assuming it's another fantasy world, but yeah, this is another one that's like shrug for me. But yeah, Studio Satellite's working on it. Source is light novel. Genres are action, adventure, fantasy, and that's pretty much all we have. The director and stuff, nothing really that to note. But we'll see. Another slime show too. Seems to be slimes is in right now. Some grody CGI too. Not terrible CGI, but not great either. So. Anything catch your interest here?
Hey, I'm all for this kind of stuff. So I'm interested in it for sure.
Yeah,
don't like that.
the CGI.
Yeah, I don't like the CGI battle. Hey, that's
even
for sure.
He's CGI'd too.
Yeah.
Woof. 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 The characters being CGI is even worse.
They're trying to keep their budget up. Let's just go with that. I'm interested for sure. Hopefully that it'll work out. We'll see. I like to see what kind of things this writer is bringing to the tables.
This writer, what they done before?
I don't know. I want to see what he's bringing to the table.
Okay, I got you. I get that from all the shows. Honestly, I really am curious what all these writers do with their stories. That's why we do what we do. Moving on, we have Licorice Recoil, a cafe serving delicious coffee, super sweet treats, and more? What the hell is this synopsis? From deliveries to chaperoning to getting rid of zombies and fighting a giant monster, just stop by for the consolation no matter the order to leave it to. What the hell is this? What's the synopsis?
It sounds like
it's
that one
cute
where
girls
they were going
in a coffee shop. Why do we have to turn this into
going to,
I don't know,
to
we're talking
other
about
worlds
zombies
and destroying
and stuff.
Their stuff?
I didn't see any about. I guess it could turn into them fighting zombies. I don't know, but the synopsis sucks. It might be about that stuff. It's an original, so we don't know. It could turn really weird, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Studio A1 Pictures is working on it. So that's two originals by A1 Pictures this season, so hopefully they can hold both of them together. They both visually look great based on their PVs, so.
At least the girls look cute.
Yeah, yeah. And just, but she's super Genki, so you're not going to like the show.
Oh.
Because Genki characters ruin shows for Chris. You haven't been bothered by Genki characters lately, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's more along the lines of the Genki characters haven't been as Genki as they used to be, honestly.
Not like Fake Clay, Leonard, Prisma, Ilya. Girl Genki. jumping up and down the walls. I know she just has, seems like she has just a chippery spirit. I don't think she's so much going to be like super ganky, just super chippery. So that's good. Genres are comedy, slice of life, and the creator behind this one is actually the creator of Bento. So I've heard nothing but good things about Bento, and I keep wanting to watch it. So that's a good thing. So I think they're really good at like situational comedy and stuff for it. So I'll be interested to see how that turns out. But yeah, it visually looks really good. So A1 Pictures is going crazy this season.
Zombies is not slice of life.
That's what I said. I don't know what the whole mention of zombies is. I really honestly don't know what that whole thing's about. So yeah, let go to the coil. Definitely looking forward to that one. Just for the cute girls doing cafe, if anything. Moving on, we finally got the Isekai Pharmacist show coming back, or at least the genre of Isekai Pharmacist. Alternate World Pharmacy, or Isekai Yokyoku. This one is a young pharmacologist and researcher in Japan died from overworking and was reincarnated in a medieval parallel Europe.
And he immediately received a harem.
Yes. He was reincarnated as a 10-year-old apprentice to a famous royal court pharmacist, had attained an inhuman skill of ability to see through disease, materialize creation, and materialize destruction. Okay. In a society in which dubious medical practice are rampant, price gouging through the monopoly of the pharmacist guild, and good medicine aren't available to the commoners, he was recognized by the empire at the time and opened up a pharmacy at the corner of the town. He will wipe out the fraud that has swept through the world and deliver to the commoners a truly effective medicine that was developed using present-day pharmacology. Thus, the boy pharmacist will cheat by using his previous knowledge to create innovative medicines while helping the people of the parallel world. A story about living his new life to the fullest this time. These synopsis, seriously. Synopsis, seriously, just seem like they're written so weird. I guess just direct translations and just barely touched up, but yeah, shrug for me. The only thing that really kind of has me a little bit intrigued is it seems like it's playing a little bit, obviously, on his previous life. It seems like there's still a lot of tie-ins with his previous life for his mentality on things, which, as we've mentioned before, is kind of one of those things that just gets left out of most isekais. It's like they get isekai and they just completely forget about their previous life. Where it does seem like he somehow is recalling some sort of trauma that he's dealing with in his previous life and is going to be playing off of that quite a bit. Obviously, it might be a lot more entertaining around the idea that he's seemingly fighting against a very corrupt pharmaceutical vantage. Or the whole idea of how pharmacist stuff is being handled by the guild itself is something he's going to probably shatter, and it's going to obviously cause a lot of issues for a lot of people that they're not going to allow. But and also OP magical abilities, of course, because that's fun.
Yeah, I like that concept, and that's what's drawing me in, is the idea of him going up against the pharmaceutical guild. I like that idea of him basically taking on the world, and not necessarily in a while yes, he's technically OP, it's not OP as in I'm just super freaking overly powerful. He's literally got somebody something that's amorphous instead of just like the demon lord. He's actually taking on the pharmaceutical monopoly, for lack of a better term. So yeah, I like that idea. I like that concept. Yeah, I'm on board for sure.
The hint I'm getting from the flashbacks, it looks like it's like a brother of his or somebody that was really badly sick, and that's what was his driving force becoming a pharmacist, is probably because, or a researcher, because he felt like there wasn't something for his brother, and so he has that regret. What was he? And cute girls. Because obviously you have to have a harem.
I found it a problem with all these isekais that we're getting. We're all going to be going and being reborn, and then we're going to be fully expecting a harem, and they don't have harems for every one of us.
Right, right. There's only so many women. Studio is Diomedia, source of light novel, genres are fantasy, director Keizo Kuzak, Kawa, who did Happy Sugar Life, so there you go. I got some dark stuff in there. Ken Colley and Rokubu. I put Rokubu on there so that just that Ira would be interested in the show. A series composition by Wataru Watari, who of course is known for doing Team Romantic Comedy Snafu and Girlish Number. Series composition he's done before is Saint's Magic Powers Omnipotent, which of course that's the role that he's going to be doing here. So, yeah, there you go. Check out Alternative World Pharmacy if you like your isekai pharmacy shows, because there's a lot of them. Next one we have is Butchigiri, or Shine On Bakumatsu Bad Boys. The story of Butchigiri is set in a new era where samurai rule Japan, when the Shinsengumi police force have all been wiped out by an unknown foe, leaving one survivor. Seven crimes have been chosen as a substitute for the Shinsengumi to ensure the law and order of Kyoto. This top secret replacement operation is set in motion. So, there you go. Geno Studios working on it. Source is an original. And that's about all I really have behind this particular one. It's got a unique style on it. Geno Studio is just a very big mixed bag, so hopefully they can hold it together. I mean, the PV looks pretty interesting, especially with the style choice, but I don't know. Again, the studio is a big question mark for me, typically. But we'll see.
Definitely a lot of stylized artwork, so it'll be interesting to see if they can pull this off, but for sure, definitely interested on the stylized artwork, for sure.
Yeah, the big question mark, obviously, is going to be, is it going to be like maybe a shonen focus, or if it's going to turn to one of those ones where it's just a bunch of popular voice actors type of stuff, which I mean is fine either way, but just I typically don't really watch the latter, so because it ends up just being about the voices, not really about anything else. But we'll see. Looks definitely interesting. Moving on, Luminous Witches is coming. We got more Strike Witches. Chris, are you happy for more Strike Witches?
I haven't been able to watch any of the ones that came before it.
This is the thing that shocks me every time I hear it, and I think I just forget it because I assume that's not the case. Like, maybe I misheard Chris. Like, the one show that Chris would love, he's never watched, which is Strike Witches, which is bizarre.
I keep trying to watch them, and for whatever reason, I end up getting sidetracked. There's one of them that I have watched.
It was like, what, two seasons? And
yeah, it wasn't
and
even
an OVA, and then some really crappy OVAs.
Yeah, shorts. I didn't watch the crappy OVA one that Andrew absolutely went ballistic.
Yeah, the shorts.
But there was another one that I did watch that was a spinoff of the original one, and I even at that time I kept saying I want to go back and watch the original because I really want to dig into this series, but still they have not had time to do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because I think mostly Funimation's had those, and so it's always like a mixed bag with them, with Strike Witches, obviously, because it's super itchy. But anywho, this is Luminous Witches, or Reime Kugon Kyokyo Maho Onakutai. This one's the anime centered around the unique squadron of the witches who don't fight. Instead, the squadron sing and perform music to protect the smiles of those who have been driven out of their hometowns by the Niroi. That would explain everything. Like, I seen this and I was like, okay, so it's Strike Witches, but they're idols? But that's because it looks like they're going to be idols that sing to, I guess, pick up the
morale.
The morale of people, because obviously a lot of destruction happens around the Niroi and what they destroy, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, this is the cool thing about this whole thing that I obviously have been hitting on for quite a bit is that, yes, I've watched the original Strike Witches. I really like them. Love the ecchi, love the character designs. They're really cute. And there's always some fun action, which is kind of interesting to add to it as well. The later ones get a little bit too CGI, but they still manage to kind of hide a lot of the CGI and still make it look really good. And obviously, my biggest concern lately has been that they've had these shorts based on the franchise for a couple seasons, and that were just god-awful. They looked absolutely horrific. And they made me so angry because I wanted to watch them, but they looked so terrible, I couldn't do it. So seeing Shaft is doing a new series, I'm like, okay, so these guys are going to take care of this. They're going to give it, they're going to take care of my baby here and give it a good polish. And it, yeah, based on the PV alone, it's already looking really great. A lot of the action scenes already look great. Hopefully we still get the ecchi in there. I mean, it's got a genre for ecchi, but, being that they're not flying around and the typical, you know, Strike Witch's bum shots that they typically have, I'm not sure if that'll be there, but still, Animal Girls singing and hopefully get some action scenes out of them. I'm assuming they're not going to be, the girls themselves aren't going to be fighting, but they're probably going to have, you obviously, you can see with the PV, it looks like maybe the other girls are going to do the fighting while they sing. So it looks good. But yeah, there's no ecchi in the PV, so that does have me worried, but not that I have to have the ecchi, but it's just an extra bonus, so we'll see. I'm excited
never
for that.
The show never seemed like it was big-time ecchi, per se. It's just the ecchi of, because technically they can't wear lower coverings because of their leg pieces, so.
It was a super ecchi show. Having watched it, I can say it is a super ecchi show. But yeah. All the shenanigans between the battles have always been very ecchi focused. I mean, one girl like literally never wears clothes when she's in her room and stuff, or she just doesn't really know how to clothe herself very properly. So, moving on, we have Prima Doll. Get ready, everybody! It's time for your key show. It's coming back. Prima Doll. Prima Doll is a project which centers on the autonomous mechanical dolls or automata. They work at Kuro Nekote, a coffee shop that sits at the corner of the 5th District and the Imperial Capital. However, they were originally made as weapons for a great war that ended a few years ago. Now, they have been restored and dressed in shiny kimonos. Studio on this one is Studio Bibori Animation Studio. The source is a multimedia project. The genres are comedy, drama, slice of life. And again, like I said earlier, this is done by Key. Of course, it's known as a studio that's known for doing visual novels and stuff for properties such as Angel Beats, Clonod, Air TV. All those visual novels and properties are pretty much by them. The character design is being done by Yui Hara, who did Chrono Mosaic. Mosaic? I don't know. Anyways. Super cute. And I'm... This is like Made in Abyss. It's super cute. It looks so great visually. I know I'm going to love it. But why? Why would you do it, Chris? Why would we even turn this sucker on? Because you know it's coming. You know by the end of it, you're going to be crying. So why, Chris, do we keep doing this to ourselves?
I think there's this thing called...
Do we just hate ourselves? Is that what it is?
No, cathartic.
Just love inflicting pain upon ourselves.
You watch it and then you see it and then for whatever reason you feel better afterwards.
Hopefully it has some sort of fluffy. Yeah, because my big question mark is it going to be one of those things where you watch it? The characters are obviously adorable. They're well done too. But Bibori's doing a really great job based on the PV alone. And then is it going to be one of those things where you get to know them and then at the very end they start unlocking their memories of these tragedies that happened in the war and stuff, and they start getting into these dark stories that each one of them have? Or is it one of those ones where the war comes back and they have to suit up again and go out there and we get She the Ultimate Weapon ending or something?
I don't know.
I came for the cute girls. Yeah, they look so cute. Bibori Studio, I mean, not an insane studio, right? I mean, forgetting something they've done, I can't recall. But I mean, the PV, like I said, alone just looks excellent. But again, they're gonna make the PV look crazy good. So, yeah, I mean, they're not really known for much. I mean, Quintessential Quintuplets, that's about it. Nazar Lane, I guess, looked all right. I don't know. So they must be getting some major budget, which is good. Again, sometimes it's not the studio's bad, it's just they don't get much budget. So we'll see if they can hold that one up, as a lot of expectations going to be around this one. Obviously, a lot of people excited, you know, fans of Clonod and Angel Beats and Little Busters and stuff are going to be jumping on this sucker if they recognize it, because I haven't really seen any, like, hey, this is key announcements until I actually looked into it. So, well, the PV technically says it too. So, yeah, Prima Doll. Definitely looking forward to that one. Definitely. Beyond Shoot,
Go to the Future
is our next one. This one is Atsushi Kamiya, a former captain at the Kakegawa High School and the world-renowned courageous captain for a famous Italian soccer team, and Hideto Tsuji, a student at Kakegawa High School, who seems uninterested in the now-weakened soccer team. Their meeting is the start of a new legend.
It's not soccer. It's football, because they're Italian, so they're definitely not playing soccer.
We'll just keep doing that joke. Studio EMT Squared. Source is an original that's based on a prequel manga, so this does technically have a prequel story. It does seem like it's got similar characters in there, so I'm not familiar with the franchise, so I can probably be completely wrong, but there you go. I'm not too into this, but I'm sure if anybody's known the previous properties, they're probably really excited for this, but we'll see. Crunchyroll's picked it up, so that's where you can watch it. We'll see. I'm always cautious going into any sports show. Sometimes they really catch me off guard, like Awashi or something like that, or Remain or something like that. But we'll see. That's as soon as my mouse starts working again, I will recheck that name. The idea of wireless was so great when we initially thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, Goal to the Future. Moving on, we have Yure Deco, Silent Sato's next project. Everybody that's a big fan of Silent Sato will be excited. I'm always very mixed on their projects, so... the story begins when Barry, an average girl from a average home with an unaverage name, obviously, meets Hack, a girl who looks like a boy. Charmed by Hack, Barry meets up with the team Hack leads, the Ghost Detective Club. Members of this club are socially dead, working invisibly within the digitally controlled society of Tom Sawyer. As she works with the group, Barry learns about Zero, a mysterious figure who lurks within Tom Sawyer's background or underground. She and Hack decide to chase down the figure, and in time, the truth behind the city is revealed. It's got quite a synopsis to go with that one. But yeah, again, Studio Science Saru, the source is original. The series composition being done by Dai Sato, who did Listeners, World Bubble Up Like Soda Pop, Gets 2045, and Ergo Proxy. So, and I think Crunchyroll's already got this one picked up. So, I interested?
No.
No?
It's perfect in every way, shape, or form, and it's probably too good for me.
It's just because you just don't get the science behind it, and the science sorrow behind it, the artistry behind it. I don't know. Like I've said several times before, the one thing that always, I guess, pushes me away from science sorrow is I never like their designs. Their art it never works. I know a lot of people argue that it's visually the way it is, so it's a lot more animated, but I don't see it too much, so... I'll be watching it for sure, just to see what comes of it, but it's going to be a struggle, like always, to watch it just based on visuals alone. If it's your bag, definitely go for it, but it's just something that never grabs me. Honestly.
When I seen this when I was flipping through and I was trying to set up the outline, I seen the key art, and I was like, I'm not sure that's going to translate well now that I'm actually seeing it, a PV of it. It does not appeal to me in any way, shape, or form. I'm literally watching it and it does not look good to me. And so I don't want to sit here and just bash it. I really don't.
But you are. How dare you, Chris?
Hopefully the storyline is fantastic. And
is it going for like social credit thing? That's what it looks like it's doing. I mean, technically it digitally controls society. And then you have the undergrounds that kind of work around it. So I guess it's going for social credit. We'll see if that does anything interesting. So, Yure Deco, check that out if that sounds to you. But, yeah. For next one we have is Kamekuzu Idol. Yuya, one of half of the boy duo Zings, may be the laziest performer in the Japanese music industry. His partner is out there giving 110% every night, and thankfully he's quite popular, but Yuya's half-assed sloppy dancing and his frankly hostile attitude towards the audience has the fans hating him and his agent looking for an excuse to cut him loose. The career of a pop idol just isn't the path of an easy leisure and adult adulation Yuya expected. After a particularly lifeless concert appearance, Yuya meets a girl backstage. She's dressed in to the nines in colorful outfit. She's full of vim and vigor, and all she wants from life is to perform. There's just one problem. She's been dead for a year. This is the ghost of Asahi Mogami, the...
I'm trying to read the synopsis, and I'm seeing the CGI in the corner of my eye.
Oh, we talked about this quite a bit on this live stream. So bad. It looks so bad. She's a ghost of a beloved singer. The time of the stage tragically cut short. Unless ghosts are real, is spirit possession really that much of a stretch?
Yeah, I've seen possession all through this thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about this one on one of our discussionals. The idea of, yeah, he sucks at his job, and then she takes over, and she's all ganky and jumping around his body and really changing his entire life. And it didn't really hit me until I was reading the synopsis on the live stream. I'm like, oh, that's this one. I suddenly am getting interested again, even though, again, the CGI looks so bad. I've kind of accepted the idea that every show that has idols is going to be CGI'd on the stage. It's just unfortunate. But there was as a hope for me, just use stills. Just use stills. And this is a prime example. Don't bother. Just use stills. Because I'd rather see a still flying by the screen than this horrific-looking CGI that just completely takes me out of the mood of the show.
No, you'll just complain about the stills.
No. Have I complained about that with Yokoboi Kongming? They use stills. It doesn't bother me because I'd rather have that.
Well,
I've come to this point now where they keep using it and I don't want it, so I would rather have the stills.
To be fair, I'm giving you credit in the fact that now you wouldn't. At the time, you would have because you used to complain about stills all the time.
No, we transitioned from animating to using stills to using CGI. And it's like, go back. That's the whole point. Just go back. I don't want it. I don't want stills. But that is the consequence of you're never going to do it right. Stop doing it. You
That's so terrible. It looks like things of nightmares. It's like a thing of nightmares.
This is the shot that I kept pointing at in the live stream. It's like, it's the worst. It's like he turns and it's just like, it's just a thing of nightmares. It looks so bad. Anyways. Oh, please stop. Just stop. Anyways, Studio Gokumi is working on it, which they've done good CGI, which is that's absurd thing about it. I mean, yeah, granted, like Yuki and his hero has had some stiff shots with the CGI, but it's typically like faraway shots, so you don't really recognize it. But yeah, based on a manga, genres are comedy, supernatural. The director is Daiki Fukuoka, who did Danganronpa and Yuki and his hero. So there you go. Kamekuzu Idol. Have fun watching your Genki cute idol girl get a second chance through some dude's uselessness. Moving on. We have Teppen. This one is Yayoi Sakamoto, a diehard fan of comedians and comedy acts, enrolls in the private Kazuki High School in Namba, Osaka's entertainment district, famous as a starting point for meeting comedians. She reunites with Yomogi Takahashi, a childhood friend who once formed a comedy duo, Kona Monzu, with her when she was little. Before long, they find themselves putting together a routine at a park like they did before in order to enter a local shopping area's contest. At the moment, a mysterious girl calls out to them.
Is this a return?
No. The studio is Studio Drive. The source is a manga. The genres are comedy, slice of life. The director is Shinji Takamatsu, who did Gintama and School Rumble. And the series composition by Jun Kumagai, who did Shogun Roku Raku Shinju. I was noting this on the stream. Like, I really do like the idea that Jun Kumagai is working on this one, because when you're dealing with an actual performance of something, a stage performance of something, it's really good to have somebody that can actually put that together properly. And I think that Kumagai has done a phenomenal job of that, at least with Shogun Roku Raku Shinju. So that gives my, that bumps my hopes up quite a bit. I mean, yeah, technically having the director behind Gintama is excellent as well. So it's like, despite the fact that we've obviously here recently had, I think it was the anime adaptation of the manga that was based off of the mangaka that did Lucky Star, and that one unfortunately did not work for me. I'm hoping that this one, with a solid director and series composition writer behind it, that this can really do what that one unfortunately did not do, which again is the idea of the comedy routine concept, which I think it was called Maitsetsu. Yeah, Maitsetsu was the other one that was out here recently again. But I argued that that time with that particular one, despite the fact that I was like super hyped for it because of the Lucky Star creator was behind it, my argument there was that it didn't have much to feel the show itself, because the characters were supposed to not be funny and they were learning how to be funny. And so the rest of the show itself wasn't driving it enough without that comedy. Here, I'm hoping there's going to be a lot better direction to really push it forward to help it work better. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited about it.
Yep. That's Teppin. Looking forward to that one. Next one we have is an idol show, Shine Post. Let's get some idols in here besides creepy CGI robot dude idol show. This one is the idol unit Tings. Has a big problem, but only small achievements, and is not very popular. The best manager in the world was supposed to be their savior, but I'm not interested in being your manager, is what they said. The man who shows up is Naose Hinaki, a man who with no motivation. However, he has a special power. This is a story of the This is a story of you and the girls shining brightly and becoming absolute idols. The best idols entertainment begins here. I'm guessing that's the synopsis for maybe the mobile game or something, because this is a multimedia project. So Studio Kai is working on it. The genres are music. I'm remembering why I laughed at this PV. Director is Kei Oikawa, who did Art Club as It Has a Problem, Minami Kei, Outbreak Company, and Snafu. And the original creator is Rakuda, who is known for doing Orisuki. So if you liked Orisuki, I can help you there. No, I got a huge kick out of the fact that this... They obviously have a fetish for transparent white shirts, because like legit every shot of these girls is their white shirts, I guess covered with sweat, and you can see the what color sports bra, whatever they're wearing underneath is, or shirt underneath is. See, there's the blue girl, blue transparent shirt. We got the pink girl, pink transparent shirt.
Blue girl wins.
it's just like one of those things, like you have to go out of your way to do that. And so it's like, okay, I guess that's your thing. Somebody likes that. So they're like, hey, let's make all these shirts transparent. And then you have the shot of all of them. That's great. Anyways, excited?
I'm willing to give it a shot for sure.
Were you big on Orisuki, weren't you?
I didn't
like it.
My love story?
No, it's not my love story. I think it's the only one, you're the only one who loves me one. With the Bench-kun.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You didn't finish that one. Never mind. Yeah, I was going to watch the OVA to see if it fixes, but no. Just no. Anyways, if you're a big fan of Orisuki, definitely check that one out. I don't know that you're going to have anywhere near the same storytelling, but obviously, if you like the writer, you're going to probably like that work too. Shine Post. Check that out if that's interesting to you. Moving on to probably the most bizarre show of the season, we have Extreme Hearts. Extreme Hearts. The story of Extreme Hearts is set in the near future when the hobby of hypersports, which is enhanced with special gear, power-up items, and has become popular amongst children and adults alike. The story focuses on Hiyori Hayama, a second-year high school student who initially has no connection to hypersports, but after a chance encounter, this begins the change as Hiyori and her friends grow closer and pursue their athletic dreams. So this is the end of my studio, Seven Arcs. The source is original. The genres are sports. The director is Junji Nishimura, who did Dog Days. And the creator is Masaki Suzuki, who did Dog Days and Magical Lyrical Nanaha. So if you're a fan of Dog Days and Nanaha, at least be excited for that. No, I got a kick out of this because when I watched the PV of this, I really only caught like this whole thing where it shows these cute girls and they're hanging out under this bridge and they're playing guitar. And then out of nowhere, suddenly it shows like a million girls and they're all playing different sports. And I'm like, what the hell is happening on the screen right now? Like, I thought there was gonna be like a K-On or something like that. And then suddenly, yeah, we're playing power-ups and stuff with baseball and soccer and basketball. And okay, sure. Like, sure, let's do this, I guess.
We'll see. I can, if it captures the essence of Dog Days, for sure, I'm absolutely on board. Because, Dog Days had the cutesy Kimono Mimi, that's one aspect of it. But the cutesy games that they did definitely had an appeal to it that I definitely enjoyed. I loved the idea of... Basically, what in Dog Days, what they were doing was they would deal with their wars by having these goofy, cutesy, fun games where they would have the characters battle it out with each other in these, in a lot of ways, weird, extreme sports. So I could see that if they had pull that off in this, for sure, it would be a lot of fun. I'm definitely excited about this.
So the creator is really good at random sports and super over the top sports.
Yeah, so. For sure.
And I guess they're doing idol stuff too. This is my only problem that I have with this is you legit have way too much going on in this. So like that's my only problem. It's like I don't think this creator knows what they want to do. Like I said, it starts off looking like it's K-On, like they're just a band, they're just playing, strumming guitar, and then it goes into, okay, let's have her play every sport known to man, because she's doing basketball, she's doing baseball, and football, and all this stuff, and then now they're singing idols. It's like, what exactly is your focus here, besides everything? That's my only fear right now, is that this is going to be just too much. Like, they're going to be doing too many things and the characters aren't going to develop through it. But we'll see. I don't know. That's Extreme Hearts. We'll let you guys know. Sure. Moving on, we have Warau Ars Notoria Sun. This one is done by Student Leon Films. The source is a mobile game. The character design is being done by Shinichiro Otsuka, who did Conception, ReZero, and Granbelm. And the director working on it is Naoyuki Tatsuwa, who did Nisekoi. So, solid character designer and director. Of course, the big question mark on this one is that it's based on a mobile game, which is not always the most enticing thing ever. Do I even have a synopsis for this thing? No, I don't. We don't even have a synopsis for this thing yet. Do they have a mobile game synopsis somewhere? The loose translation is Smile of the Ars Notoria. The premise is the story revolves around the students who are in ashram. An ashram is a school of magic and culture where the students will interact with each other while all of them are being taught about magic and culture. An ashram school is a school for magic and culture where the students will interact with each other while all of them are being taught about magic and culture. I never thought that you would learn about magic and culture at a school where you learn about magic and culture. That's crazy! That's like how you make, that's how you make something longer than it really should be, is just repeat things. But yeah, this is being created by Nitro Plus, which Nitro Plus has done quite a few, I guess, popular titles.
Who's the character artist?
It's, I just mentioned, it's the guy that did
B-Zero. I know, I'm asking you. Who did what?
I just said it earlier. It's Shinichiro Otsuka. But yeah. The character designer for ReZero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I think the struggle that I have with this right now is that we don't really have an idea of who is actually writing it. Obviously, it being under Nitro Plus, they're just going to take the credit for the thing completely. So, they don't really have a good idea behind that. But I don't know. It's one of those ones where it looks good. It's probably going to just be a big advertisement for the mobile game. I don't know that the mobile game itself has like some crazy, fantastic story. I don't know that it's even out yet for people to speculate on yet. It came out in March 4th, so I guess some people might have played it, may know that if it has a good story or not. But we'll see. We'll see. But if anything, it's going to have really cute designs. I've always loved this particular character designer's work, even with like Conception and Grambelm. Grambelm was I think partly why I ended up watching that was because of the character designs. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, love the PV, love the artwork. I'll probably end up watching it just for that alone.
Yep. That again is Smile of the Arch Notoria. We have KJ File. KJ File, oh my god, I'm scrolling this. KJ Files, the story is set in the world where unique kaijus suddenly begin to appear in various places around the world. Members of the United Nations Munster Observatory will explore a world where kaijus with great powers and humankind live together. This one's being done by ILCA and Yell, which it's pretty much has only done Yamishibai, so don't expect this to look visually stunning or anything. It's probably going to be a lot of stills. I was kind of thinking this might be close to that one monster horror show that we always talk about in layout, which could be good. But, yeah, it's an original. Genres are action and sci-fi. We don't have a PV or... There's nothing really behind it interesting other
probably
than
probably because the PV would cover 90% of the first three episodes.
That's true. It's probably going to end up being a short. It's not listed as a short yet, but it's probably going to end up being a short.
Yeah, knowing that it's Yamishibai and the kind of the vision, the way that the key art looks, yeah, I would lean towards probably similar to Kagewane and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking Kagewane maybe. Yeah. And then we have Yoru wa Neko to Isho. This one is when Futa becomes comes home tired at night. All he wants to do is spend time with his new cat. All the mysterious habits and mannerisms of a house cat are carefully reproduced in this relaxed and cute comedy about living with an adorable furball. Studio on this one is Studio Pukai, which is known for doing a lot of short shows. Another one I'm thinking is probably going to drop down to the shorts eventually. They just haven't listed it yet as that. Sources of manga and the genres are comedy and slice of life. So if you like your cats, as Japan really loves their cats, there you go. Check that one out. Another one that I think is going to be very simple, because I think that's the Sekai Quartet group, right?
Studio Pukai? I think so.
So, which they do some good stuff too. I mean, visually good stuff, surprisingly good stuff. It's just they're mostly focused on, yeah, shorts with like Isekai Quartet and stuff. There you go. Moving on, we have Cyberpunk Edge Runners, the PV that destroyed the internet a couple days ago. Cyberpunk Edge Runners. This one tells a standalone story about a street kid trying to survive in a technologically and body modification obsessed city of the future. Having everything to lose, he chooses to stay alive, becoming an edge runner, a mercenary outlaw also known as a cyberpunk. This one's being done by Studio Trigger. The source is, of course, the hellish released Cyberpunk game. I joked about the idea that I hope that when this anime comes out, they don't have to patch it. Well, that was funny. No laugh from Chris. That was good.
I'm
he's too busy getting sucked into the PV. Yeah, it's just crazy
that I'm really, really ticked off that I'm seeing Netflix all over it.
Well, this is gonna be a full drop, so it's gonna be just boom, it's done. But yeah, it would probably be better if it was released on a regular basis. But it's only 10 episodes long, which is almost a full season. But series composition and script writer is Yoshiki Usa, who did Woozer's Hand to Mouth and Working Buddies. So very different. So like this guy does Woozer Hand to Mouth, which is like just a goofy little show, and now suddenly he's doing, I don't know, a cyberpunk story. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Director is Hiroyuki Ima Ishii, who did Gurren Lagann, Panty and Stocking, Kill a Kill. So really phenomenal director working on it, at least. But yeah, again, this is going to be on Netflix. I'm going to be a full drop in September of 2022. So still a ways away. And like I said, it should be a full drop, 10 episodes. It looks... Go check out the PV. Like, of all the shows that we've listed, Engage Kiss and Edgerunners is probably the most phenomenal, like, PVs out there right now. So
yeah, I can agree. It looks freaking insane awesome.
Yeah.
So and the fact that Trigger's on it is just, like, I know that I'm going to love the artwork in general, so, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Bastard. Heavy Metal Dark Fantasy, or Bastard Onkoku no Hakaishin. This one is, of course, the new adaptation of the Bastard manga, which, of course, had an adaptation a while back, but apparently they wanted to do it again. So we're doing it again! But yeah, this one is the Kingdom of Metallicana is under attack from the Four Lords of Havoc. This party of villains, Ninja Master Gaara, Deadly Hunter Empress Nei Arsus, cold and calculative Kal Su, and enigmatic dark priest Abigail will stop at nothing to get what they want, even if it leaves utter destruction in their wake. High Priest Gyo is desperate to help save the kingdom and its people. He unleashes the mighty wizard Dark Schneider, a man who used to be an ally of the villains. Unfortunately, Dark Schneider has his own plans in mind. Will he stop the Four Lords of Havoc or join them in their conquest of the world? That was a synopsis. The studio is Leiden Films. The source is a manga. The genres are action, adventure, comedy, fantasy, ecchi. The director is Takaharu Ozaki, who did Girls Last Tour, Goblin Slayer, and Wave. Series composition by Yosuke Kuroda, who did Pretty Sammy, Duel, and Onega Teacher, Gungrave, Hayate the Comet Butler, and My Hero Academia. Quite a spread. But yeah. Thoughts, Chris? Are you excited for the return of Bastard?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'm ready for it, but yeah, I probably will. I just to watch it, because it's so freaking insane.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of... I think the thing that has me most excited about this is really kind of that return of the old-style dark fantasy shows that you just don't get anymore. Just, nothing's held back, everybody's crazy, and yes, there's some goofiness about it too, because it's kind of old, but there was a period of time where we got a lot of our fantasy shows, or a lot of anime in general, was just like a mishmash of everything. It had everything in it. You had gory violence, you had, yes, nudity and all that kind of stuff kind of thrown in there, and there was just nothing really held back. It just, they tried to create like this hot pot of everything, and so there's a side of me that kind of hopes that is the return of what this is going to be doing, but we'll have to wait and see. It's been way too long since I watched the original anime adaptation, right? So don't ask me for my opinions on it, but
I'm hoping that Wreck of the Lotus gets a retouch.
That'd be cool. Not the sequel. That's fine. You can leave that.
What? You don't like Pa-pa-parn?
Pa-pa-parn. Pa-pa-parn. But yeah, that's... we'll see how that turns out. That's, again, another Netflix one. It'll be a full drop. I don't know if they've put a date on it yet. Did it say at the end? I don't remember if this one had a date set on it already. I think it does. I think they just have summer 2022, I guess. We'll see. We will see. Moving on, we have Futopai. This one is being done by Studio Kai. The source is a manga. The genres are action, mystery. I don't have a synopsis. Well, I don't have a synopsis. Oh, they do. They have a synopsis. We have the, in the city of Futo, criminals make use of USB-like devices called Gai memories to turn themselves into superpowered monsters known as Dopants.
Makes sense to me.
Wreaking havoc on the otherwise peaceful city. However, there are also heroes who utilize Gai memories to fight these criminals, one of whom is self-proclaimed hard-boiled detective Shotaro Hidari. With the help of his witty partner, Philip. It's a random Philip. It's like, this is Shotaro Hidari and his partner, Bob. Anyways, the two transform into Kamen Rider W, the legendary hero of Futo City. After the fall of Museum, the evil organization responsible for the many crimes in Futo, the production of and distribution of Gai memories has halted. However, remnants of Gai memories still remain within society and are sold in the black market at high prices. Thus, the two heroes from Narumi's detective agency are set yet to have the time to relax. Sites of Dupontsu still occur, and the agency receives more and more clients who claim to experience supernatural phenomenon. Regardless of the arduous nature of the task, Kamen Rider W promises that those who hurt Futo will eventually inevitably count up their sins. So it's Kamen Rider. I didn't realize it was Kamen Rider. I don't know if it's like the actual property of Kamen Rider, but there you go. Futo Tantai or Futopai. So, yeah. Interesting. It's got a good style to it. I don't know that we have a PB for it yet, but based on the key art alone, it looks like it's got a really, really interesting style to it. It might be in the pretty boy area, but yeah, we do have a PB. But yeah, nothing really crazy behind the scenes working on it, but I'll be interested to see how this one kind of turns out. I'm not really at all into Kamen Rider stuff, but every now and then I'll dip into something that's kind of based off the property or kind of a playoff of it. So we'll see if this one kind of has something to go with it. Hopefully it doesn't really require you to have much knowledge in Kamen Rider, because I'll fail that miserably. But CGI bike. It's all right. It's expected. It's expected. This PV is giving me nothing. This PV is legit giving me nothing. Besides CGI bike, guy holding hat on his head, and then people's faces. So we'll see. We'll see if this one does anything.
Some of the character art looks good. I don't know. This one's going to be a mixed bag for me. The concept is odd, like a kind of a USB version of like the Matrix, where they're just jacking in memories. It's an odd one for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Moving on, we have Sekai no Owari no Owari ni Shiba Inu to, or Roaming the Apocalypse with my Shiba Inu. This one is really interesting in the idea that it's technically going to be straight to YouTube. Like, this is we've talked about this a couple times, the idea of possibly having like these studios just go and just throw their stuff on YouTube rather than going through licensing with a streaming service. So, here you go. Now, the question mark really lies in, will it have subtitles? Because that's my big question mark, is, will we have subtitles?
It'll depend on if they allow the auto-translation or not.
Oh, woof. Woof the auto-translation. Woof at it with your Shiba Inu.
Well, I hope that they get an actual, but I... The auto translate does work.
Yeah, if they input the actual captions, then the auto translate can work. I was just thinking of like picking up auto, what do they call it? Speech to text or what? But yeah, I guess that's true. That could work if they, like I said, if they actually do input the captions, which they could, they probably would do. This is being done by DLE, which is not really a big studio, so I wouldn't expect much visually for it. So, but it's got a cute concept. This is basically a girl that's kind of traveling around with her little Shiba in an, obviously a post-apocalyptic world. There's nothing really there. Maya Uchida will be voicing the female lead, which is great. She's really fantastic, so love her work. It looks like the Shiba is, in fact, voiced by a person, which is, I think, terrible. I think they should just get a dog to do it, but maybe the dog needs to talk. I don't know if the dog actually talks or if it's just she's going to be doing barking noises.
She's probably the main girl's probably going crazy, and so she needs the dog to be talking to her so that she feels
there
like she's...
There you go! Is it going to get that dark? Are we going to get that dark? Are we going to get psychological?
I can't imagine
adventure
it
adventure comedy, sci-fi, slice of life. I don't see psychological, but I guess it could still. Chris is getting dark with this. Chris wants this to be dark. So we'll see. Like I said, straight to YouTube, which is definitely an interesting new thing, so... We'll see how that turns out. And that's it. That's all the new shows besides the shorts, which I don't know why I always do the shorts last. Let's do the shorts. We have technically a returning show, which is Musasino, which is a sequel to Uwara no Usagi-chan. So look forward to that if you're a fan of that series. We also have Hanabi-chan wa Okuregachi, which... I have no information on, so I'm guessing that's going to be fun, hopefully. But that's really it. And like we've mentioned before, technically a lot of the shows we talked about above here is probably going to be a short. Like I mentioned, I'm guessing The Cat is going to be a short. KG Files probably going to be a short. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, time to get crazy because it's... Just wait, there's more. We got more. This is where things get
and
really
crazy. And if
you act
now, you can get this.
All these new titles coming back. Yes, we have The Devil's a Part-Timer Season 2. Yes, it's happening, which everybody basically broke when this was announced because it took so long for them to announce it. But unfortunately, have not got caught up onto it. So this is going to be one that I'll probably have to pick up mid-season. Hopefully, I can, after things chill out... I can possibly get caught up and watch it along with everybody else. But it'll be taking me some time.
There's a 2 to 4 week kind of lull between seasons where you got one season's kind of ending and the other season's kind of picking up. And if you don't have a lot of shows to catch up on, you can start weeding in some of these other shows. So that's
you have a lull between seasons.
Well, when shows kind of drop off, they don't immediately start the next season all the time. Sometimes a little bit of a...
The only time we get like a week like breather is between fall and winter because they love their New Year's. So it seems like there's like a gap there. But yeah, typically like stuff just kicks right up right when the season ends because they're technically filling in time slots. So I don't know. I haven't looked at it to confirm because AnyChart right now is not working for us at all. But typically, like I said, besides winter, for some reason winter, we always get like that little breather and it's like, oh gosh, I love this. Like there's some people like, where's the next shows? It's like, no, I'm good. I'm good with a break. Let me breathe for like 2 seconds because between seasons, just such a crazy rush. But no, it's usually like after we get done with our first impressions. That's usually when I personally am like, okay, can I get something else done right now? But we'll see. But yeah, the other thing to note is that the Devil's a Part-Timer will be changing studios. White Fox did the first season. Studio 3 Hertz will be doing the second season. I think that's kind of a mixed bag for some people. I think 3 Hertz has done some good stuff, but White Fox obviously would have been probably preferred for a lot of people. But... That could be one of those things where they had to choose to change studios rather than let it wait any longer because White Fox might be embroiled in something else right now. So yeah, I'm super excited for all the fans. Again, I'm going to try to get caught up on it so I can watch it with everybody else, but there you go. Rent to Girlfriend's coming back. Yes, my new stepsister is my ex-girlfriend's is not the only trash fire this season. The self-NTRing in his own head main character Rent-A-Girlfriend Season 2 will be coming back. Hopefully in this season we will have where all the girls decide to just ship with each other and just ditch the guy, and then we can just cut the guy out completely from the show, and then it might be actually a fun show. But until then, we'll just have to struggle with this idiot main character and how cute the other girls are in the show. So there you go. Are you excited, Chris? Are you excited? Maybe we'll actually get some more of the shy girl, which she like was in one episode at the very end of last season. So maybe she'll be more of a part of the show. Maybe we'll actually redeem Aoyuki's character.
Some aspects I do want to see this show, this train wreck. Let's just call it what it is, a train wreck. There is aspects of it that I do want to see. So yeah,
will we get more of Naoto Yama's beautiful voice? Like the seiyus in this show are so fantastic.
The seiyus, the character artwork, there's a lot of aspects about it.
Everything about the main character. Everything about this show is great except for the main character. We'll see, though. We'll see. Looking forward to that. Overlord's coming back. Chris, are you excited?
Yes, I am.
Are you cautiously excited?
I want some more Shaltir. I probably won't get much Shaltir, but it is what it is.
I don't know. I think it's focusing back on the main group again, but just based on what I'm seeing with the PVs, it seems like all heck is going to be breaking loose. And so I think that main group is going to be a focus again, even though like previous seasons we started getting the lizard people and stuff like that, which always turns out to be really good, by the way. Like every time the writer does something weird on off the side, I always love it. So we'll see. But I'm just curious if Chris is going to stick with it, because I don't know. It's dark, and you're kind of getting away from the dark. Or is it because Shaltir's there, you're going to deal with it?
Albedo and Shaltir, I always end up, you know, kind of got to have more of them. So
yeah. And hopefully they improve the CGI. There's some CGI shots in there, which it looks like they're doing a little better at blending in. So that's obviously, I know that they probably know the criticism. They're probably going to try to fix that issue, but we'll see. But yeah, super, super interested to see where they take Momonga. Obviously, Momonga has been one of my most, definitely one of the most interesting main characters in Isekais. And I really do love to kind of watch his, I don't know if you want to call it his slow descent, but it's that the loss of humanity that he has, and seeing how that kind of plays off with everything else is interesting. So we'll see. I want to feel maybe this writer will eventually get to the point where he'll have an awakening point. But I don't know that that's really something it's after. I think it's just that descent is really his new reality, which I think is really cool. But we'll see. Yeah, fourth season. Looking forward to that. Classroom of the Elite is coming back for second season. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. This is one of those ones I wanted to rewatch the first season before the second season. I never got a chance to. Rewatching is always difficult. Like even I wanted to do Maiden Abyss and Overlord before the season came out, but I don't know. We'll see. I know that there's a lot of hype behind it, so obviously there's some good writing there. I was very off put by the first season, so I'm not sure. But I'll definitely be checking it out. Hopefully whatever arc they do next is something that will grab my attention. But that's a big question mark for me.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember where I was when I did watch that the first time. I don't think I finished the first season, but I don't remember. So
yeah. Maiden Abyss is coming back, Chris. I'm not clicking this. You can watch the PV elsewhere. I'm not touching anything. Like when I was doing my live stream, I was showing everybody all the trailers, and when I got to this one, I'm like, I don't know if I want to look at it, and I keep looking away, and then I look back, I'm like, no, I don't want to look at any, I don't want to know anything about what's coming up. Like this is one of the few shows where I'm like, I just don't even want to see anything on it. I just want to go completely blind.
I can almost guarantee you it's going to be painful.
It's of course going to be very painful. But yeah, Maiden Abyss, the Golden City of the Scorching Sun. I cannot wait for this to come back. This is the hype show. I think High Dive has this one. So High Dive's got a lot of good stuff this season. They got Danmachi, Maiden Abyss, Tokyo Mew Mew New, Prima Doll. Like a lot of the stuff that I'm super hyped for, they have. So it's going to be really nice. Now, unfortunately,
they didn't grab my show. What's up with that High Dive?
Oh, you're, yeah. Anyways, I'm super hyped for Maiden Abyss coming back. I love it to death. If you guys have not watched it, join us. Come join the suffering of this heartbreaking and yet amazing show. Just adventure embodied show. So
I hate Andrew for making me watch that show.
Right? Right. Well, you can stave off the pain every now and then by watching the next episode of Danmachi Season 4, because that's coming out too. And it's on the same platform, so you can go from watching that and suffering and go straight into Danmachi, where it's just fun, bubbly harem. Now, the curious thing is I have yet to see the next harem member on any of the stuff released for Danmachi 4. I am convinced that every season has to have a poster girl that will be the next harem member that he gets, and I have yet to see anything on this one. I'm thinking they're being purposely, like, they're hiding it. Like, they don't want us to see. Like, they're like, they want this, but we're not going to give it to him yet. So,
okay,
that's curious.
We'll see.
There's got to be somebody every season, so there's got to, somewhere in there, it's going to pop up. Maybe it's going to be one of those ones where they do, like, a quick arc, and then, like, mid-season, they'll release another key art that has the actual poster girl.
The living room in their mansion is getting kind of fill.
It's a big room, though. It's a big room. But yeah, looking forward to that. I admittedly have been kind of cooling down on Danmachi overall each season that comes out. So I'm hoping this one will bump it back up. Obviously, with like the first season, I absolutely loved it. And then, like I said, it's just kind of slowly trickled down from there. So I'll be totally open for a really solid, and maybe them getting away from adding a new harem member to the group is purposely to focus on some sort of story that could possibly bump my interest back up. So
it is. It's one of those things. As you watch through the series, you definitely feel like it feels like they're just like Andrew was saying, adding a new harem member every season. But when it comes down to it, it feels like things are being slipped in there along with the new harem members.
It's the other guilds, and it's the politics behind it. There's definitely a lot of puppetry that's happening in the background that's really kind of throwing things to the loop. No mistake, there's definitely still stuff there, as much as I joke about the harem member, but it's still technically that's what Belle's focused on. We're seeing all this stuff. Belle's focused on cute girl I need to save because Doki Doki's, there's something that's driving me to protect girl. But us, and we're seeing all the other stuff that's happening in the background. It just seemed like a lot of the focus in the first season was about like him powering up, about him getting him being some sort of special lineage. And that stuff just kind of felt like it. Like, when's the last time we seen him go through the whole process of Hestia upgrading his skills?
Right.
It was the first season. I think we mentioned that before, this idea of, like, this writer knows how to create these really cool concepts, but then he just never does again.
Yeah.
The blacksmith guy. Now, granted, he still comes in every now and then and says, here's a new, you know, magic imbued weapon that we can use. But that was, like, this one thing that he introduced, and he never does it anymore. So it does feel like this writer just kind of goes ball and then just leaves these ideas behind and never really messes with them. So we'll see, though. I'm thoroughly wanting this to really kind of shake up my thoughts on this writer again, and really see what it goes next. There's always phenomenal action scenes. Every time Minotaurs are fought, jaws will drop. So Shadow House second season, my gosh. Super hype. I'm like super happy about this show coming back. Just the fact that they announced the second season just shocked me to no end. And I'm super hyped for this comeback. Cloverworks is working on it again. The original writer is still involved with it. When they first announced the second season would happen, and one thing they were noting is a lot of people are noting that this certain character didn't show up that is like pinnacle for the next part. And the writer was like, legit, I didn't know that we were going to do a second season, so we kind of purposely took that out. So we didn't source material bait you. So they're involved to weave it back into the story, which gives me a lot of hope, because a lot of people are like, if that wasn't introduced here, you can't do a second season. It's like, no, they're going to figure out how to. The writer's there to do it. The writer is going to weave it back into the story and make it work. And knowing they have that kind of forethought is really great, and I'm really hyped to see what they do next. Obviously, there's a couple of little loose ends that were left with the first season that I'm really hoping they finally acknowledge that broke my heart in the first season. That stuff I'm really happy to see hopefully kind of come to fruition. But Emilico, Kate. These characters I adore. The style is great. I can't wait. I'm so hype. This season's gonna be so crazy, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This
one I'm very, very hyped about because I have absolutely loved this story. I came in for literally the frills and the outfits and the kind of Victorian style that was involved in a lot of this. I was absolutely terrified of the idea that this was going to go dark. It did. While it is dark in tone, it's not.
Theme and everything is there, and it does have dark moments, but it's not. There was only, like I said, there was only one part where I was like it crushed my soul. Like when that happened, I was like, "Oh, ouch! Chris is not going to be happy. That hurt me. It's going to hurt Chris too." But most of the time, it's not really that. Like it's not brutal.
Yeah. And I've absolutely loved this show. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. Let's just leave it at that.
Again, let's bring it back up for Chris. Josh and Chan, Chomkick is coming back. There's another show to have fun with.
Yeah.
Josh and Chan's just dorky. I keep telling people, like, every time this is brought up, it's like one of those ones where everybody's like, what is Josh and Chan? Yeah, don't worry. Sit down. Let me explain it to you. Amazon happened. Amazon was a thing at some point, and it kind of just sucked this property dry of any potential. But yeah, hopefully somebody else besides Amazon, like Amazon just comes back and goes, we're doing anime again for Josh and Chan. hopefully they don't. Hopefully somebody else. I think the second season got picked up at Crunchyroll or something like that. I think Crunchyroll had the first, and then Amazon had the second.
I don't remember.
One way or the other. But anyways, it's a dorky show. It's not an insane show or anything like that, but it's like one of those shows where I just love it because I like the voicing and the characters are dorky, but then every now and then it does something that just makes me laugh, like, way too hard, and it just catches me off guard here and there. Plus, a lot of the side characters. This is one of those shows where the side characters, in most cases, are a lot more fun than the main characters, for the most part. So yeah, looking forward to that. More Josh and Chan is great. So Love Live Superstar is coming back for its second core, so everybody excited for Super. This is depressing. So I think Chris is aware of this. So Love Live, I love the first season of Love Live. Their very first cast was fantastic, and I felt like over time it seems like it just they get too many cast members. And the special thing that was with Superstar, and I wanted to actually go back and watch it before this core started up, because this is one of the few, Superstar was one of the few ones that I really liked the characters, and it wasn't doing like Nijikasaki High, where it's like acting like it's a musical, where characters suddenly just jump to the edge of the roof when they're up there talking, and then suddenly there's a crowd of people waiting for them, like they staged it. And I like the fact that it was a condensed group. It was like four girls, or four, maybe five girls. And then I come to find out they're gonna add like a whole bunch more characters with this core. And I'm like, never mind. I don't want to watch it no more. Like, it had the one time they decided to do like a very condensed group of girls. And then, no, we're going to keep adding more girls to the group. Sure. That was a little bit of a letdown. I might still go back and watch it, though.
They probably took your criticism seriously. And they were like, okay, well, we won't introduce them all at one time, and we'll just introduce them over the course of several seasons.
And granted, that was kind of an idea they had early on, was they had pretty much like, it was like three in each grade, and right, they would like introduce them gradually, and then they would get into their stories in the second core. But no, it was like, no, I think they probably just heard me go, that's weird that it only has this many characters, and they're like, oh, you're right, crap, add more to the crap, get more to the cast, we forgot. We forgot it. Andrew told us, now we know. Anyways, I do want to get back to it no matter what, but Superstar, yeah, Love Live coming back. It is odd they're doing this thing where they're doing like the first half of Nijikasaki, and then they do the first half of Superstar, and then they go back to Nijikasaki, and then they go back to Superstar. Like they're taking turns.
It is one of those that I have hated that I've ended up falling off. This is the second group that I've fallen off on, and I'm so frustrated because I keep wanting to go back and catch up on all of them, because I do love them in general.
Maybe. Yep. Orient's coming back. Part two of Orient. I think both me and Chris kind of echo the same thought process. Hopefully the second part is going to be where things really kick up for this writer. Obviously, this is the writer behind Magi. The ongoing joke for many people is, just give me more Magi. Why give me this? But we'll see. We'll see if it can start picking up. They started introducing some new characters at the end of the first core that I'm kind of curious to see if it turns into something interesting. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully they can step up the budget a little bit more, too. Hopefully. Utawara Mono is coming back. Mask of Truth. So the next part of the Utawara Mono Masks series, whatever. Because I think the first one was like Mask of Deception or something like that. I don't forget what it was.
Tons of hype. I'm absolutely hyped for this.
Yeah. I think the last part of the previous part kind of started getting to something where it's more in line with the original Utawara Mono. So that's got me really hyped. Hopefully getting away from just it being fluffy harem stuff, but back into the core of what Utawara Mono is, which is not a bad thing. It's just, it's what I'm kind of curious about. It's what drew me in originally, so we'll see. We'll see if that one turns out to be good, so. Yojo Han, Time Machine Blues. It's going to be on Disney Plus, so don't expect to see it anytime. Yeah, Yojo Han, Time Machine Blues is coming, which of course is a sequel to Tatami Galaxy. This was one that got a lot of hype, obviously. Science Saru, it's a really big property. The original creator, Tomohiko Morimi, which is known for doing Tatami Galaxy, Night is Short, Walk on Girl, Penguin Highway, The Eccentric Family. It's a writer that me personally, I have adored their work with The Eccentric Family. Unfortunately, I never watched Tatami Galaxy and Night is Short, Walk on Girl, which is probably shock a lot of people. Just as much as I love Eccentric Family, I probably should. But, yeah, unfortunately, the big unfortunate here is that Disney Plus has it, so similar to Summertime Rendering, who knows when we'll get it. Unfortunately, they've never really set any kind of scheduling for anybody else in the rest of the world besides Japan, so we'll see. We'll see where that comes from, but I do want to go back and watch Tatami Galaxy, and I definitely will be watching this one as well, so super cool. Kakegurui Twins. This one is going to be coming out on Netflix, I believe, in August. I thought I had the date written down. Have you been watching? Did you watch any of the Kakegurui's?
No, I keep planning on it.
Oh,
it's one of those that I love the artwork, love the concept, but every time I look at it, it looks like it's going to be torturous, and so I've always been kind of leery about jumping into it.
Yeah, August 4th is when it's coming out. This will be I thought they announced how many episodes, but anyways, it'll be a full dump on Netflix. But I'm actually hyped for this. Now, I watched the original series, and I obviously don't like a lot of the all according to Kakaku kind of stuff, which it just loves doing. I love a lot of the mind games and stuff that they were doing. I hate the derpy faces to death, and Kakegurui is unfortunately known for the derpy faces, where characters look like they're not just Aho faces, but like the stupid, like, somebody's got to go to the bathroom really badly kind of faces. So that was always a turnoff for me, but one thing I did really, really enjoy about the original series was Mary. And this apparently is supposed to be focused on her before the main girl from the original series gets into the picture. So it's like, I think a year before it. So that does have me kind of hyped, because I really did like that character, and to have it focus on her is kind of interesting. So that alone is enough reason for me to kind of really want to jump into this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it torturous? Because
there are segments where it gets kind of like somebody could die kind of stuff, but it's like Russian roulette kind of stuff.
Yeah. One of the clips that I seen was of somebody, with a, let's just say the, somebody's finger getting removed type stuff. So it's like, okay, are we dwelling on the pain of that, or are they?
It's pretty psychological. I mean, one of the themes is psychological, so it plays heavily on just, again, the mind games, and yes, technically
the mind games wouldn't bother me.
Is somebody gonna get hurt here kind of stuff? So yeah, MAPPA's working on that again, so same studio. MAPPA hopefully not killing their workers. Shin Tennis no Oji-sama U17 World Cup. So a sequel to Shin Tennis no Oji-sama. So look forward to that if you're a fan of Prince of Tennis. So Card Fight Vanguard Wheel Plus Dress or Wheel Cross. I don't know. They choose whatever they want to do with those symbols. So third season of Card Fight Vanguard Overdress. So if you like overdressing yourself and playing card games, check out the next of the overdressing card game. They wear plenty of layers, apparently. And that's it. That's it. The continuing series going from winter into, or spring into summer, is Summertime Rendering, which will be going on for 25 episodes. A Couple of Cuckoos going for 24 episodes. Aoashi going for 24 episodes, which is definitely exciting for me. I didn't really think that was going to be a two-course show. I probably knew that, and I just probably forgot. Kingdom 4 will be continuing on for 26 episodes, and Onipon for technically 60 episodes, but technically two-core, because each week is, like, what, five episodes put into one. They're doing something weird like that, so there you go. Additionally, outside of that, we have some ONAs and films, which let's see if this is actually going to work. Probably not going to work. For some reason, our ISP does not like any list right now. It's not going to work. Some things to note for movies and stuff is we have the Tsunade movie coming out finally, which is kind of surprising. I know that we had that announced a long time ago. My assumption is that possibly some delays were due to the fact that obviously they had the tragedy happen at Kyoto Animation, so I'm not upset. I was very lukewarm on Tsunade, honestly. But I know there's a lot of people that really love the series, so, you know, be excited for that, obviously. But that's obviously the Kyoto Animation's Archer Boys anime, so. Cool stuff there. One Piece is getting a film. One Piece Film Red, which looks... I like the character on the front. So maybe one of these days I'll watch 1,000 episodes so I can watch the movie. But yeah, there's that. Yuru Camp is getting a movie, so that's exciting. I'm sure all the fans of Yuru is... I think there's like... isn't this the one that's supposed to follow the... No, this is a different one. Yeah. They're grown up, that's right. It's like a jump forward, which I think is super exciting. I'd love to see that. I always love the after story type stuff where it jumps in forward in time. Let's see. Other than that, we have obviously the Dr. Stone Ryusui. So the ONA for Dr. Stone that's supposed to keep us, you know, satisfied for another year before the next season comes out. But that's got a lot of hype going on it, obviously. We also have the special episode coming out for Tonikawa Under the Moon or Over the Moon for You, whatever. So that's super huge right there, too. I think that's it. The fifth and final film for Reconquistion G is coming out.
Oh, you should be happy. Your Osamatsu-san's coming back.
Yeah. We got first part of two new anime installments for the Osamatsu-san. That's right. They have the fourth season, quote-unquote, three-episode film type thing for the Legend of Galactic Heroes coming out as well, so. Lots of cool stuff. Lots of really cool stuff. The drifting movie is finally coming out. The Studio Colorido is doing Drifting Home. That's coming out September 16th, so cool stuff there. What was this one?
Summer.
The Tunnel of Summer. Yeah. The Exit of Goodbyes. It should be done by Studio Clap. No, what is Clap? Oh, they're the ones that did like the Pumplesun stuff. I really need to watch that. I need to watch Pumplesun, the cinephile. But yeah, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I want to note at this point that Chris did not bring a pen and paper, so we are in trouble. What is Chris? Do you just know it by mind?
No, I don't.
You don't know it by mind. What are you thinking?
Well, obviously my show for sure. Probably
your show. Gotcha. What show is that, Chris?
The Harem in a Labyrinth. Probably the Takagi-san.
When will Ayumu make his move?
Yes.
Okay, that's definitely Takagi-san.
We've got the Trigger Show. So that's
Cyberpunk
3.
2077 or yeah. The other Trigger Show. There's two Trigger Shows.
There's two. What's the other Trigger Show?
What was the... Oh, I'm thinking of Silent Sorrow, maybe. Is what I'm thinking for two.
The Key Show, probably.
The Key Show, probably Prima Doll.
Yeah, Prima Doll. And then we'll go with the Tan Maid.
And the Tan Maid.
Sure.
Recently, my maid is unusual.
I don't know. The Yakuza with the Lolia is pretty hype as well. Yakuza's
guy is babysitting.
Yeah.
I like Christian Blue translations. Yeah,
at this point, we're now I'm going. But I do kind of want to watch that too. Yeah,
Chris's like weird translations of titles is always great. I'm sure for everybody. What did I write down? Is this my thing? Yeah, but I did 10 for my video, so I have to cut it down, which makes it more difficult.
I am definitely
Engage Kiss. I'm gonna do Engage Kiss. The Yakuza's Guide to Babysitting, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, and then after that, Prima Doll, obviously. The last one's the worst. I think Cyberpunk Edgerunners is going to be fun, but I don't have really like an expectation for it, like story or character wise. I think it's just going to be a fun,
just action,
crazy action
romp. Yeah,
Having the writer behind it has got zero anticipation from me whatsoever. So I think they're probably going to keep very close to something probably handled to them by CD Projekt Red, which is probably what people want, which is obviously a good thing. I don't think it's going to be anime. I don't think it's going to be anime story. I think it's going to be very CD Projekt Red westernish.
I love the cyberpunk. I always have. That's one of the main reasons why I was excited about the game in general when they first announced it.
Yeah.
But when it, having a trigger, version of just them going crazy and just going all action romp, I'm absolutely hyped for it. So, yeah.
So, yeah, Engage Kiss, The Yakuza's Guide to Babysitting, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, Prima Doll, and Colonite. That's my five. But, yeah, as per usual, we always do our picks for new shows, because if we were to choose returning, if we allowed returnings in our top five most anticipated, it would just be nothing. But, like, Maiden Abyss, Shadow House, yeah. Overlord... Tokyo Mew Mew New, Luminous Witches, you have your list. It's like it never allows for anything outside of your returning shows, because obviously you're super hyped for, you know, Maiden Abyss and everything coming back. So
yeah, I mean there is more to the things that I mean for sure like Andrew has in his top 10. Call of the Night is definitely up there for me. Oji-san is definitely...
I might actually go alternate routes just to get Oji-san. I want to see how they're going to do that. I'll be very curious about that. But yeah, the usuals like Trash Fires, like my stepsister is my ex. It's that train wreck you're going to look at, obviously. It's absolutely crazy season. I cannot wait. I hope you guys will join us all for that. Again, we will do our... no matter how we're, you know, raising our nose at certain shows, we're still going to watch all this stuff. And we will give our first impressions in a full podcast episode. Well, it's probably going to be broken up like last time.
Two.
At least two podcast episodes. We're not doing a single anymore, I don't think, ever again, unless things really pull the reins back.
Stuff down.
Yeah, unless they really kind of tone down what they're releasing, which I don't think is happening anymore. But, yeah, additionally, if you've not already, make sure to jump to our YouTube channel and subscribe to us there, youtube.com/otakuspirit. All the links are on otakuspirit.com. Definitely love you guys' support. So, you know, supporting us there, subscribing and sharing out that stuff, supporting us through Patreon, through monetary value, which we definitely appreciate you guys for that. We also have a tips link. You also do super thanks on YouTube as well, which is enabled there, so you can directly support us there. Additionally, yeah, just letting people know about us and supporting us vocally. We definitely appreciate it. I'll be doing video first impressions of all the shows on the YouTube channel there. We'll do a podcast where it's two-part for me and Chris, because obviously there's a lot of people that don't like my opinion. They just want Chris's opinion on shows like The Yakuza and Lolly. And what was the other ones that you were mentioning? The Yakuza and the Lolly, his opinions on I'm forgetting Chris. The maid, the tan maid. What was the other titles you had? My Sekai Harem and Takagi-san. Yeah, that's right. Takagi-san. What did you call Call of the Night? I think you just called it Call of the Night. You need a name for Call of the Night.
Well, that was only
Toga Vampire. Was... Toga Vampire. Yeah, Chris is looking forward to Garu Toga Vampire.
Garu Vampire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Garu Vampires. That's right. Chris had Garu Vampires. I think there's only one Garu Vampire. I guess technically you can call the Toga girl kind
Toga
of.
Toga could be
kind
a...
Kind of.
Yeah,
she could. But totally the other girl's more Garu because they go for the blonde hair look and all that kind of... Anyways... We hope you guys enjoy this video or this audio and podcast and all that kind of stuff. And depending on where you get it from, like my mind goes to like, oh yeah, we have a YouTube version, we have a podcast version. Certain folks, we apologize for last week not having an episode because Chris's schedule has been kind of shifting around. I try to get some small videos interjected in there so that you guys had some content to work with. I got the Interspecies Reviewers video up and my first part of the Mushoku Tensei ones, but yeah, that was the reason, but. At least you have this now.
My schedule should be set in stone as of this week because I probably will go to work tomorrow, but the next week I should be from here on out, the Sunday and Mondays are my days off.
Yeah, so. I think that what that means is that we'll probably shift the podcast to releasing maybe a day earlier. I'm not sure how that's going to work out because technically I still got to do stuff today and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. But I might just shift my live stream schedule around just so I can edit the podcast. But again, I'll make that decision sometime. But yeah, folks like Otaku Trucker and stuff are like, where's the episodes week? It's like, crap, dude, everything falls apart for people if we don't have an episode to update in the week. Because there's a gap there that Andrew and Chris usually go into for those that travel a lot that is no longer there. And I feel really bad.
Well, luckily, it's at this point where it's going to be a season change. So everything should... naturally shift. If they'll stop dumping everything on Saturday,
my gosh. Well, no, like this week, this season we had like a lot on Wednesday too, if I remember correctly. What was it? Was it Wednesday that was like pretty heavy too? I don't know. Yeah, it was Thursday. Like Thursday had Sachiku, your boy Koming, Skeleton of the World, Heroines run the show, Demon Girl Next Door, Dawn of the Witch, Onipon. I think technically Summertime Rendering was there too. Just crazy. Anyhow, hope you guys enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Os.